If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
You see these little instructions? Those are all my little gestures.
Oh, touch gestures.
Those are my gestures I can do on the touchscreen.
Touch it.
Use three fingers, use four fingers.
Oh, these are cool. Oh, I already knew all of these.
You can pinch and
use
pull.
Use that on the dilation screen.
Yes. Yeah, we dilate the screen with the finger gestures on the touch screen.
I'm trying them on mine.
Yeah, they do the same. Oh, that's interesting. Look at that. So it's tedious 447, I want to say.
So you weren't hip to the joy of just the two fingers pull.
No, on my last laptop, I disabled the touchscreen because I had one of those. I had one of those touchpads that as you're typing, the heel of your thumb is like clicking on shit.
Yeah, I have literally my entire life had that problem with PCs. Of course, with this nice Macintosh,
this
Apple
one doesn't
computer,
do it.
I don't have that problem.
This one doesn't do that. Which is funny.
I hope everybody is ready. We're going to do part two of the transgender surgery stories.
Yes, it is.
Two more hours of botched training.
Yes.
Actually, there is enough material for that if we wanted to do that.
Welcome back to the pastrami sandwich necrotic sandwich.
Yes, welcome back to the necrotic lunch meat hour.
Yes, necrotic pastrami.
Write that down, Jamie.
Polymicrobial Italian wedding soup.
Oh, jeez. I'm never going to be able to look at the little pasta balls and soup again the same way.
Gnocchi?
There's gnocchi, but we'll never be able to look at gnocchi the same way either. Gnocchi in like a bolognese sauce.
Oh, bolognese.
I just assume that like Italian food is like what comes out of these orifices.
Just melty
things
cheese.
That look like it, but don't smell nearly as good.
Mm.
Italian food smells great.
Yes, it does.
Although to Alex, he probably thinks it smells like Yankee food. So
he thinks it's
like
Yankee
necrotic
food.
That smells like necrotic tissue to me.
Everything has tomatoes in it, man. I don't like the presence of all this tomato shit.
My God.
Well, that's because
Italian
you're
dish.
Insane.
That's crazy.
You're
that's
just,
fucking
you're
crazy.
He's not a normal person. That's all right.
This thing is going to like corn dogs.
Yeah,
I like potatoes. I don't want tomatoes.
I'm playing. I don't like potatoes. I don't see the conflict.
What do you think gnocchi is?
Gnocchi is potato
pasta. Potatoes.
In a tomato sauce. In a tomato and meat sauce. It's amazing. Look, I can like potatoes and tomatoes, okay? I'm not a racist.
Potatoes.
What do you like? You don't like tomatoes because they're colored?
It's tranny stuff.
Mm.
Thinking about this food is just disgusting.
I mean, should we do content?
I don't know. I'm thinking a nice start right off the bat with content.
Oh, we got content. So much content.
I mean, I'm thinking there might be at some point be something that comes out of one of those things that looks like a nice, you know, nice manicotti stuffing.
I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there when it happens, though.
No, I don't want to.
I know legit places I can have manicotti come out of that I can just go eat and it's delicious. I don't need to.
Like the stove.
Yeah. Like
the oven.
Like the like a couple of restaurants that are like down
the
street.
There's,
you know?
Or you could go to like Big Sal's.
You can go to Big Sal's.
And whatever that place was. I don't know. I don't even know.
Go to the deli, get a fucking chicken parm sandwich.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God, with all the carbohydrates in it.
Oh, it's so good.
Fucking all the bread.
It's amazing. I'm so starved.
Tired of eating.
I had alligator and crawdads last
night.
Tired
of eating salami.
See, that's
man,
just weird
so
shit.
Good.
That's like weird.
It's Cajun food. Man.
That's like weird backwoods shit.
Yeah,
look at this animal. I found this animal. I didn't even butcher it. I'm just going to boil it.
He'd probably eat possum and shit like that too.
Look at this bug I found in a stream. Just throw it in a fucking
that's
steamer.
Like, yeah, that is like that
crawdads.
Is like backwoods food. It's like here. I'm just eating the creepy crawlies that are around my house.
Hey, it's
like,
got protein in it.
Let me get the rodents and the weird insects and snakes and shit. I mean, like a possum and snake.
The alligator. It's like it was me or him, and I won. So I'm gonna make this into some soup and some boots.
Oh man.
I wonder if you could eat snapping turtles.
Yeah,
you
make
can.
Soup.
You can eat
there's some fucking ginormous snapping turtles where I live. I'm starting to think about that now.
Just grab, make sure you grab it by the tail. Don't go anywhere near the head.
We have our friend, our pal. Shall we call him? I don't want to say his name. We all know his, but no, it's funny. Like he was. Someone was telling a story about how they had a possum got in their house, had trouble. It was a couple of years ago. They had trouble getting it out, and our buddy Wes was like, "Get it out. Get that in the oven." What are you talking about?
Jesus.
I was like, that's funny. And then he showed a picture of himself. He's like catching snakes around his house. Like, he's like, oh, this is some good eating.
Well, it makes some possum bolognese.
Yeah.
Possum and vodka sauce. Penny possum vodka. Yeah. There you go. We don't have any more necrotic tumor.
We're going to do something almost as cringe.
We would not do that to a paid audience. We're not doing that to people who are paying money to listen to this. I'm just not.
We're gonna make you watch Sargon instead.
Yeah. This is just a brief little thing.
That's today's flex.
Basically, I don't even hate Sargon, but this is an example of kind of what we were talking about the other day, and I put the video up on YouTube.
Those are some great optics.
Oh, that jacket? Yeah, I don't think...
What is going on here?
Oh, well, this is another one of those things. I'll just prep this. So we did the segment a couple weeks ago, and I put the video on YouTube about why I think Sargon is not doing as well as he could be doing.
That's not a good place to be.
That's a difficult place for him to be. But so this is him doing another one of these little street debates. He's got Milo with him. That's Milo in the jacket.
Mm-hmm. It's like an autism jacket.
Yes, it is. And Milo has fallen far, man. I almost feel bad for the guy. This is what happened. But I do feel bad for the guy. He was sexually molested
as a kid.
Well, I'm just glad these people are sort of... Well, they're sort of being exposed as like half-assed. Like in this segment, we're going to see like this is the...
Yeah,
it's half-baked, like, please don't hate me too much, enemy, as they call you a Nazi and like rape you out of existence.
This clip was Morgoth sent me this clip.
What is wrong with this guy? The guy in the sunglasses
is about to ask a question.
Yeah.
He wants to answer immediately. We're going to see the poor answers given to the question. So, yeah.
All right.
As an individualist, you understand that identity politics is cancerous, to say the least.
Absolutely.
It's antithetical to free speech, to the values that made this country great, and to everyone's prosperity.
Guy's setting it up. Mm-hmm. Just let it go.
But when certain people are playing identity politics, and you encourage people like, say, white British people not to engage in that, how are they meant to compete? It's almost like if you're competing in the Olympics... And some groups of people are winning because they're using performance enhancers, whereas you're telling other people not to do that because they don't do it on principle and they lose every time.
Well, we won't lose every time. We're going to do party politics rather than identity politics, which means people can self-associate to a party like UKIP, where we will resist identity politics.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
All you need in politics is the numbers. So when enough people realize that identity politics is going to, frankly, see them at the bottom of the pile... without any option to go any further, and this is not just for white English.
But when is that going to happen? That's never going to happen.
It works. Identity politics is going to put white people at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, that's what it always does.
Yeah, this is blood doping. Like, it fucking works.
Holy shit.
I mean, that was my response would have been like, well, it's like, without
steroids, we're just going to stretch more and lift harder.
Yeah, but
it's like, you're not going to lift as much. I mean, as the steroids people.
If we get away from that metaphor,
oh my God.
Like, the point is just that, like, at what point is it going to stop working for the non-whites, the Muslims?
They're about to see the light.
After all the white people are gone.
But the blacks, everybody in Britain, right? And you know, I mean, they also have the added advantage that the Jewish press like stands up for them, etc. But yeah, I mean, it gets worse. But yeah, it's crazy.
Instead of having an organic identity politics, let's have a fucking facsimile of a fake identity, an identity you pick for yourself. The UKIP party. Like, that's my... I identify as, in all ways, but physically, I'm a UKIP party.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually...
That's a fake fucking identity.
He's actually doing the same kind of thing that, like, a tranny is doing. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're creating a constructed identity that's not real.
And
British is real. Like, a white British... I mean, British is a subgenre of white person.
Mm-hmm.
But that white British is a real thing. And that's the organic identity developed over centuries.
And your UKIP...
And all those people
Your manufactured UKIP clit is going to go necrotic and fall off.
Yeah.
It's going to be
extremely
painful.
The real problem you face with white identity politics is repression and media exposure, media humiliation and attacks, mm-hmm. and then financial and economic repression. That's what you face. Those are the risks in America and in Britain, and possibly legal risks depending on the kinds of things you say. I think in Britain you can still say positive things about whites as long as you don't go out. My advice to Sargon was don't break British law and start talking about like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, niggers or something like that. But you know,
well, here he did that.
Well, here
and now
well,
he, say the
he
N-word.
Used the word. He used the word to like make a point about speech or something, which is gay. But you know, whatever. My suggestion to him was like, be obviously a representative of white British people. But you don't want to do that.
No,
and
he
here he's giving
it.
A very weak argument as to why he won't.
Who voted leave? Who voted leave? Brexit and all this stuff.
Well, according to Nigel Farage, it was gay black men.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Apparently there's ads in Britain now for the Brexit party where Nigel Farage is featuring himself with anybody but
can't
a
they just
white
do,
British
like,
person.
Can't they do Chav nationalism over there? Like we have Chad nationalism. Here.
Yeah, they do have Chav nationals.
The
problem is actually Chavs are pretty pretty muddy. Like there's a lot.
Oh, I thought they were just white people that everyone hate. I thought that was
no.
Their, like,
that's like a Cockney. It's kind of like a lower class. I don't know.
Right.
If I'm getting
Chavs
it wrong,
are from all races and everybody hates.
Oh,
them.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. Chavs are basically like.
I thought that was
garbage.
I thought that was working class white. Like it was a slur. Like you're hillbilly. Or whatever.
No,
it was a
it's
word
a,
like
it's
that.
Like it's an urban thing too.
Oh,
so
no,
it's
more like Uyghur.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Never
but
mind.
But it's like Uyghurs of all races.
Yeah.
Like you can be a Muslim Chav. You can
Uyghurs
be a white
of the world
Chav.
Night.
You can be a black Chav. You can be.
Well, I want to hear Carl's the end of this. I want to hear the rest of his stuff
for
here.
Scottish or Welsh people. This is for anyone who is suffering under the heel of identity politics.
Wait, what kind of people? I think you named three distinct, legitimate, organic ethnic identities, which is English, Scottish.
Let's try
that
again.
That was a rhetorical
question. Enough people realize that identity politics is going to, frankly, see them at the bottom of the pile without any option to go any further. And this is not just for white English or Scottish or Welsh people. This is for anyone who is suffering
British
under the
people.
Heel of identity politics. They can come to
suffering
you.
Under the heel.
And that
but they're not suffering
against it. And when we have the numbers,
well, the whites are suffering.
Whites are suffering under the heel of other people's identity politics. Muslims are not suffering.
Yeah,
under the heel of Muslim identity politics.
You know what
racial
the fun? You know what the fun thing about like performance enhancers in the Olympics is? Like there was a body that could go out there and ban these substances and try to enforce it. Right? Like you don't really have that, or at least nobody's willing to ban identity politics. I don't even know how you would.
Well he's going to give. He's going to tell you how.
Oh, okay.
He's give
Let's
you
do
his
it.
Plan.
All right.
Go into government. And remove all of this legislation that deals with it. And then the reign of identity politics will be over.
I will be voting for you.
Thank you, sir.
But I think the problem really comes down to the issue of then it's a race against time. Because you can bring in the demographics as destiny argument if you want. Or you could even say that it's all cultural and you have to take back the institutions now. Otherwise, it's going to get harder and harder. How do you...
That's why we're out here now, my friend. We're here to fight the good fight.
Oh my God.
How do you know if you're going to win?
Well, you never know that you're going to win in any fight, do you? But you've got to try.
What's
otherwise, there's no
outcome
chance of
is
it.
One of those things that you can only do if you fixed all.
Why did this milquetoast YouTube celebrity
we're
become
going,
competition?
We're going to lose with our principles intact.
Milo basically says as much.
We are going to continue to just.
Milo
flush down the world, the world's toilet
as much,
but we won't have dirtied our fingers with identity politics. I'm going to dirty my fingers with my friend's bunghole.
All right, I didn't want to spell it out.
But you interrupted my train of thought to make jokes.
Oh, because that never happens to me.
No.
The rules of the game ahead of time. I know it can feel as though that.
But different people are playing by different rules. It's like a different game.
But that's why people will come to UKIP.
No,
because we will set the rules to be fair.
That's why people are fleeing UKIP. He says this as UKIP is tanking.
You don't. And nobody wants you to set the rules to be fair. They want you to set,
you to
set the rules
so
that you win. You have to fix the game. Like, that's what's been going on for fucking centuries.
Yeah.
That's what politics
just
is,
be,
fixing the game.
And the thing is, like, you're
sitting
being,
around crying that the other guy's fixing the fucking game is, like, that's fucking amateur
there's
hour.
There's another point here, though.
All right.
That by not being, by deliberately eschewing being, like, being a spokesperson for white British people, you are being inauthentic and unnatural. Like, it is natural for you. Like, there's this whole struggle with authenticity and such. This individualism crap is the inauthenticity. And Sargon is up there. People are gravitating to him. because they think that he is going to be kind of like our guy.
And he's not.
And he's not. That's why UKIP is shedding.
He's
UKIP
like going
is not
to...
going to get a single seat in the European Parliament. Now, part of that is due to machinations of Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party, and which was deliberately set up to disempower UKIP because they were becoming a little bit too edgy. And Farage said as much. He said this is too edgy, and now the Brexit Party, their advertising is all featuring non-whites and stuff like that. It's really cringe.
Imagine a world without political gatekeepers. What would that be like?
I know. It's crazy. But the problem is Sargon had a chance to break through some gatekeeping, but he's just doing gatekeeping. He's doing bad gatekeeping.
Mm.
He's doing shitty gatekeeping.
Bad gate.
Well, he is an amateur. He's an amateur gatekeeper.
Mm. Yeah. And look, I think that...
I want to get the...
This is just inauthentic. It doesn't feel like he's doing... It feels like he's being fake in order to not cross his taboo. But you're never going to get a Britain of individuals.
No.
It's a gay concept to begin with.
I want to hear Milo speaking of gay concepts. Here we go.
But different people playing by different rules. It's like a different game.
But that's why people will come to UKIP. Because we will set the rules to be fair for everyone.
It was a really good question because there isn't a persuasively it is not a persuasively.
Milo admits that like they can't answer it
from our side.
We've got an answer.
I think that the only answer is, so to speak, if they're using performance enhancers, then you have to use them as well until you can change the game. Why not say if you're confident about UKIP being able to pull this off, and maybe it's very possible. Then why not encourage everybody to play identity politics until it's possible that no one can and you can change the system?
Look at the smirk on Sargon's face.
For the same reason that I objected to Jess Phillips saying that we could improve free speech by restricting what you can say. You're going in the wrong direction, my friend.
They still have free speech.
It
I'm not talking about taking
how
that away.
You win.
Yes.
It does
how
matter how
win.
You win.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. No! That's the mantra of a loser. It matters how you win. It's like, no one cares how you play the game.
No.
Demographics. You lose.
The reason it doesn't matter how you win is because the consequences of losing are so monumental. Yeah. This is not a fucking game, okay?
This is the other thing.
South Africa and the whole world.
The guy on the mic,
he gets it.
The guy, he's trying to, he clearly gets it, but he's trying to tailor his questions. He's not necessarily countering their points in the way I would, but that doesn't matter. You can't expect everyone to be a pro at this.
He's putting them on the spot, and they're responding with inane bullshit. Like him.
Really
he's
bad,
he's
yeah.
equating, saying like, all right, maybe everybody play from the same set of rules, identity politics. He's equating that with restricting free speech. Like, just like I don't agree with this other cunt who
free
says...
Free speech is our identity politics.
That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to... But the two concepts have no... They don't share... Like,
I think they do.
But I mean,
is free speech.
But the way he's conflating them, you're going to trap him. But the way he's conflating the two, it's a total. It makes no. It's not an answer. It's not an argument. It's a deflection.
It's legitimately not.
He's changing
not
the subject.
An argument.
He has no rebuttal to we should play.
I would say this. Like, why can't you just stand up for white people? Like, you could still have if you
because
like,
we're better
if,
than
if
that.
If a non-white wants
and what
to go,
is white.
Well, that's
what
fucking
do you
stupid.
Mean?
White is the people that are constantly being attacked in the press every single day.
I don't know that.
All right, that's...
You can't possibly... Don't you remember how this works with him?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
But the
you
thing
can't
is,
say that.
Is he going to do that bullshit while he's doing a political... He's trying to do something bigger now. He's trying to do a real political campaign. You can't. You can't try and, like, BTF... I mean, if he does... That might be why he's losing.
That's probably why he's losing. You
know, but, yeah.
I thought he was changing. He just was. I thought he was just going to do this stuff without naming the Jew or whatever to get himself arrested.
Well, apparently he got my message though,
because
I made a tweet the other day where I said if Sargon, every time Sargon's rape tweet was brought up, he turned it around in the media and said, "You don't give a shit about rape." I made a joke. We're taught you people covered up Rotherham, right?
Oh, good.
He did that.
Nice.
And the video in which he did it got immediately banned from YouTube. It was literally, somebody sent it to me, they said, looks like Sargon got your message. Because that tweet was like, it got like a big amount of, it was like retweeted
good
quite
for him.
A lot.
I'm glad he went with that.
And I don't know, I'm not going to say he definitely got it from me or if other people, the message filtered up or whatever. But a lot of people started saying that afterwards.
Hmm.
And people were tagging his publicist and stuff in the tweet and all this stuff. So I don't know, maybe he saw it, maybe he didn't, doesn't matter. But he did it a couple days
later.
That's
good.
And the video got banned. Somebody said it to me on Twitter. Like, holy shit, he took your advice. And then as soon as I clicked on it, it was like, video not available. And I was like,
right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You can't even say Rotherham.
Yeah, you get. I mean, he might.
I wonder why that is. I wonder why you can't say, you can't mention this thing.
You know, it's also one of those things where Sargon is like, he's already on a short string with these people, which is funny because it's like, Sargon, you're suffering the consequences, but you're not even getting the good stuff. It's like, I don't know. It's like,
I want more.
It's like you're getting the lung cancer, but you never even got to enjoy a smoke.
Oh God, fuck.
Sorry,
I want a smoke.
It's immoral. And yes. I don't. And if we do it,
it's immoral. Why?
We're no better than
you
them.
You can't roll back from that.
We are better than them because we're us and they're them.
We like that, we're just like inherently better than they
that's
are.
That's just. But you just have to. You just have to believe you're better because you're one of us and not one of them. That's like. Oh, that's as far. That's as deep as the like intellectual rabbit hole on that has to go.
Yeah.
With identity is like I'm me. I'm not you.
And you know.
And I want to enjoy like having a country for people and by people like me.
Yeah,
and not you. Like I don't want to make room for your bullshit because you're not like me. You don't have to go any
you don't
further
really
than
have
that.
To justify that.
There's no just. That, but that's what like that's what the Yeeks have said. We have said yeah. We have to justify this. And yeah. Pro tip, you can't. Like that's liberal.
They'll always be able to find a way where yeah. you can't justify it. They'll always be able to find some fucking gay argument. All you have to do is just say, nah, fuck you.
No.
Like, you don't have the veto over what we, how the kind of politics we do. You just don't. And they are still trapped in a paradigm where they are.
They believe that stuff.
They either believe it or they're afraid of it so that they have, they conform to it. Now, Milo.
Oh, it's killing
Milo
me.
Is, according to reports, half Jewish himself.
Filled with miles of black cock.
Yes, he loves to get railed by black dudes.
And
that's his real.
This has bought him. No, this has bought him no like no reprieve from
no,
the onslaught.
No, he's like
done
doing worse than we are.
Imagine he's actually straight, and he that was like that was all just a.
Well, the thing with Milo is
that was a
wait,
work.
He is literally doing far worse than us.
No, he's way worse off than we are. What? He's been removed from everything. He can't get backers, and the problem is because he attempted to. How do I say this? He attempted to sort of like. Co-opt the well first started with Gamergate and then the alt-right
mm-hmm.
He was clearly attempting to co-opt it in 2016 when he wrote that article in Breitbart which mm-hmm. was useful for us but it was part of his downfall
yeah
and so again the problem was he wanted to kind of co-opt it but then he saw where it was going and he started signaling against it and then it didn't matter to the establishment because they still froze him out. And the conservative establishment is actually now more responsible for this because liberals can bitch all they want. But if conservatives had stuck by him, he would still have his platform and he would still have influence and a certain amount of power. But he lost all of it because of conservatives, because they stabbed him in the back
mm-hmm.
because of the left and their overreactions. And really, this was just a top level decision by Jews. They did the same thing to Gavin McGinnis, despite his loyalty. They just, you know, there was that new network that was starting up with him and Glenn Beck and some others, Levin and everything.
My.
And Levin just like, oh, we're getting rid of Gavin. We're done because of the Proud Boys shit. So these people that stuck with this liberalism, this classical liberalism, liberalistism or whatever, they all got thrown under the bus by the conservative establishment itself. And the problem is Milo, because his whole thing was dependent on brand and image and name recognition and stuff, he didn't have like the deep politics and that we do. He once he was deplatformed everything, he got kicked off of everything, couldn't do tours, his book was canceled, he's out of money, like he has nowhere to go. Whereas with us it's like we will always have somewhere to go because we developed a real thing. We developed a real community and a constituency. And also I don't give so much of a shit about brand and image that I need a Twitter blue checker. Like I'll just go, they ban me, I'll just come back.
He'll come back.
Right? And he can't really do that, right? He can't do like Sargon did it, but they kept banning him. So now he's given up on Twitter. But it's like we're doing better than these guys in terms of our audience and our outreach and our ability to do what we want.
Yeah, but
because they're still trapped
in
this.
Yeah, but they're better than us because we're doing identity politics.
I mean, all right. But
okay. I mean, even if we win everything, they can never be on our side because
we'll do that.
We didn't do it right.
It's actually amazing how much stronger than us Milo seemed like 2 years ago. Yeah. And in
well, Milo seems sort of like a ticket to legitimacy for us. Like some people took the
people
the
were
idea
trying
that,
to play that game for a while. Yeah, but then look what happened.
Yeah.
And we are stronger than him now.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything has changed around. It felt like because he's got connections. He's with Breitbart.
Yeah. Yep.
He's with the conservative movement. He's like the edgy conservative. He's going on TV even. But they shut him out, man. He's just done. That was a top-level decision by the Jews. And that,
now
I mean, I'm sorry.
Now they're go on Hypebart.
Quran hype. Right, write that down, Jamie.
You like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I Milo would love to have the kind of following that we have.
I want
to
hear more about brown cock. Let's do it.
You can't let that out of the box. Yeah. Historically speaking, people along tribal and racial lines in Europe. This is pre-medieval, pre-Middle Ages, right? Until the arrival of Christianity. And Christianity brings with it a number of innovations. One of them is the individual, the subject is having, you know, a person as...
I am not you!
Right? So you have the sanctity of life comes in with Christianity. An
ordinary this is so bad. It's like, maximum Jew. I need a fucking history lesson.
This is a revolutionary and shocking idea when Christianity arrives. But it also brings some other things with it, too. And it changes how European people organize themselves. The primary question.
What kind of people, Milo?
And the
what kind of people?
That sounded like identity politics.
You can't get away from it. Even the way you talk about people. What's a British person? When you think of a British person, what do you think of?
Malcolm
you think
McDowell.
Of a white guy in like a top hat.
I think with of a monocle. With bad teeth.
That's. You think of a weak chin and bad teeth. No, I'm joking. But no, it's like what you can't even really talk about politics and countries without actually delving into some kind of identity. It's absurd. They're trying to move the American model where American doesn't really mean anything over to Europe, and it's harder because those identities are more entrenched.
Sort of motivating,
which means Europeans don't understand the concept of race, right? They have no idea what it is. Race, what is that?
Where are you from and why is your skin that color and I'm different to you because I'm white? The primary architectural principle is, are you Christian or not? And this sets up the big...
But we're moving away from Christi... Just ignore them. They're not worth it.
This... Hold it at the top.
I've been told that before.
So when we have Christianity, we stop being... Basically, Christianity...
Oh, then he goes back and
he's talking
about Christianity again. Alright, I don't know if I want to listen to him filibuster about...
I wanted to listen to him, but you keep filibustering.
Alright, let's just let him keep going. I feel bad for him.
In the Middle Ages in Europe.
So we need Christianity back, is what you're saying.
That is the only good answer to the question you're asking. Yes.
I'd be glad to agree.
He's arguing for a Christian identity?
Milo Siena?
I think Siena. That might be problematic as well.
Well, Siena people are not going to welcome him.
This is actually why I'm...
He and I will not agree on this.
Yeah, we won't. But I think that's the important reason we actually need to talk about the English...
This is like the Gailey show right here. These two guys interrupting each other for 3 hours. These two faggots.
Let's just go back to talk about the training
identity
stuff.
Identity is individualistic. It's got this inheritance from Christianity. And honestly, it comes from the fact that the English are such arrogant people in their own selves. They think every man is a king.
Right.
No other culture has
but
ever
nobody
done
else
that.
Thinks that way.
Well, wait.
True. Yeah.
So Sargon just did an identity politics. He just did a collectivism.
Well, he's trying to wreck. He's obviously trying
to
destroy
English
it.
People have this characteristic. But what kind of people? Do those brown people that are now English, do they have that characteristic? Whatever it might be. I don't know.
They think everybody was a Kang.
Yeah, they think everyone was a... Jamie, write that down.
The English-speaking world does. And if you look at... I mean, like, one of my favorite people to use an example of this is Majid Nawaz.
Who?
He's the most English-thinking man I've ever
Wizard
met.
Of Oz?
I've had the pleasure of speaking.
Right. Oh, some fucking... Some, like, Naxalt... Guy, Jesus. Majid Nawaz. I think he was the one that won money from the SPLC. Right?
Yeah, he did, actually.
The way that we do this is by simply letting them live among us, and they'll realize that our way of life is better, but...
No, they won't!
To make sure that that isn't...
They realize your way of life is vulnerable to being subsumed and destroyed. They'll
want access to the capital and the institutions that you've set up, thinking that they'll just perpetuate under their own inertia without them actually having to do any work. They like that part of it,
but
they don't think that your way of life and you is better and they want to assimilate to it. They want to take it over and use it, and when we're gone and the institutions crumble to dust, they'll finally be like, they might have enough self-reflection to be like, what happened?
They probably won't.
But
might
this,
won't.
The they scenario like, that they're going to live around us and we're going to rub off on them, that is not, it does not happen anywhere, and that is fucking documented all over this country, everywhere,
already.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah,
we don't rub off on them. They see us as a fucking, as Marx.
Yeah, that
not, I don't mean Karl Marx, I mean as like a mark for their con men, and we're the targets.
Yeah.
That's how they see us.
Neither Karl Marx nor Karl Benjamin.
Right.
They see
a tale of two Carls.
Write that down, Jamie. This has been empirically disproven. Right?
I can't believe I'm hearing this rhetoric out of this person.
Yeah, it's been, but it's also the development is. I'm like happy this happened. I mean, this is just this probably happens a lot of times in the last several months. Probably happened a lot of times. This was just a video that was sent to me to comment on. But the fact that these guys are so unsatisfactory, and the fact that they keep getting questions like this, is I think a good development. And I encourage people in Britain to keep doing this to
keep
them.
Keep asking, why can't we...
Keep pushing them on
why
this.
Why can't we have identity politics for ourselves?
Keep why can't we have a collectivism?
That's the question. That's the answer to everything that's going on. You can do a collectivism.
We should be able to have a collectivism.
Everyone's doing a... The collectivism is all other identities against you as a white. So
that's what's happening now.
That's what it is.
What's happening now, and you can't defend yourself. It's so stupid. It's like, why can't you just stick up for whites, Sargon? Like, you know they're under attack, right? Why can't you just stick up for them?
It's so frustrating.
And it's also like, look, Sargon, like, doing a collectivism doesn't mean, like, we're going to suddenly be in a communist state.
Yeah.
Like, let's get past that fucking...
We're not going to have, like, the government seize the means of production take over.
Let's just do, like, a normal economy. Like,
Your paycheck's not going to be, like, forwarded to, like, the national bank and then distributed to people who need it.
Well, I mean, unless Stryker gets in power, but...
We won't let that happen.
Yeah, we'll let them do propaganda, but...
Yeah.
Let's not get too far.
Let's see what else we got here.
Trolled numbers, because I'm sure you're going to bring up the examples of northern cities where they don't...
Oh, he's in beforeing the best arguments!
But then you're setting up a ticking time bomb of demographics' destiny.
Well, I'm very much against open borders. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Why?
Right, so
you just said let them live among us.
Yes.
So it is a ticking time bomb.
Well, we're a small country. I mean, there are 200 million people in Pakistan. We can't just allow everyone in Pakistan to come here, can we?
You can allow none of them.
It all comes back to demographics, because demographics coming in is like preloaded software almost. And it takes time to convince them of new ideas.
Absolutely.
Why bother?
I'm totally on this. Yeah, close the borders. I mean, well, not zero, but you know what I mean.
Why not zero?
What do you mean obviously not zero? Obviously zero, sir.
How about negative?
What do you want to slow it to a trickle and
That's
have the
negative.
Time?
Let's
go
negative.
You want to put a longer fuse in the time bomb?
I want to go negative.
That's one of the negatives. They send your packies back.
Send them back.
Send them all back.
Send them packing.
So okay. maybe they'll take the ideas that they learned by you rubbing off of them. They'll take it back to their country and their countrymen.
Oh,
they'll rub
yes.
off on them, and then
yes.
Pakistan will become
we
a better place.
We cannot deprive Pakistan of these wonderful liberal Pakistanis from England.
Send them back.
Wait a minute. We talked about this previously. We have television now. We'll just send them TV sets and they can watch.
Like
what? Yeah,
they've got TV sets in Pakistan.
Yeah, they don't need to come here.
They don't have enough yet. Their fertility rate is too high.
This is just so. This stuff has been BTFO'd so hard, and he's still doing
it. It's bad. This guy's actually doing well. He, you know, I would maybe take a slightly different, but whatever. You can always.
He's doing fine. He's making.
No, he's doing perfectly fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
I have no complaints.
He's also clearly a little bit more prepared than maybe. You went in there maybe with an idea, which is fine.
Yeah, he's managed to drag these two clowns into making themselves look like idiots for the
last 2 minutes. I'm surprised they're still talking to him. They cut him off. They eventually cut him off. They realize what's going on, and like this guy's just asking questions. You know what I mean?
No, but they're actually having they're being English people.
Okay.
And they're sitting there talking to each other politely.
Yeah.
Not cutting each other's throats. I mean, they're doing an identity politics right now. They don't even realize it. Doing a very English
But at what
thing.
Point it's like, you're a Nazi.
Sargon is doing a
I
very
don't
English
talk
thing,
to Nazis.
In that he's walking around being a twat.
Twat. I'm in the queue being a twat.
But yeah.
What else is...
Learn to wear a suit, Sargon.
Yeah.
Yeah, also...
300,000 net people coming in. That's way too much. You know, I'd like Sargon to get in
doing
tens
the...
of thousands.
But
so
already...
He said to bring it down to tens of thousands.
What's the point? Why though?
Zero.
There's no. It's not.
What is your party for? Immigration with the intent of like turning them into English people. Like
why?
How is that different than the other
English
side?
English people create more English people. Yeah. What's the point?
Oh, that's racist.
Even have we already have people in the country who are against these ideas?
Yeah.
And the white birth rate, who are the largest majority of people.
This guy's
who
about
hold
to get arrested.
It's much
birth,
lower
right?
than theirs.
Do you mean the English birth rate?
English, white English, yes.
Yeah, but we're not Germans, are we?
What?
White
Yes, I say English.
Whites in general.
Yeah, but no, hell with whites in general, then I have to give a damn about what happens in France, right? No, with the English birth rate, this is the thing, we've got to start using this term English.
Well, you don't, why wouldn't you care about
There's nothing stigma.
Wait, why are we using the term English?
It's not wrong to say English.
No, I know.
So let's not say white, because that's an American, American phrase. We're not Americans either. We are the English. We will say English, you know. But yeah, you are right. I agree. I think we should have
you can't say English, because when you say English, there's forces out there that think you mean Pakis.
He's helping with that.
Yeah.
He's by refusing English, to say... There was a time when you wouldn't have had to put the white modifier in front of English.
Yeah.
You have to now. Because of what happened to your country.
I remember way back when he was doing these long debates with millennial woes.
Oh, God.
He mentioned, what do you mean English? What do you mean, ethnicity or citizenship? Because you can be English. You can be like a black Englishman.
Well, if I say Japanese, everybody understands I'm talking about an ethnic group.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a country.
Yeah. But he's been doing this for a long time. It's like he has to say white because he doesn't mean like your brown English birthright. He means the white ones. We're not Germans. Yeah, that's too bad, isn't it?
See, he thought that was so clever. But this is why I remember when Richard debated Sargon, and I told him, a lot of people were giving me advice going in, and I just told him one thing. I was like, Sargon's going to say things that he thinks are smart but are really dumb, and they're going to throw you just because of how dumb they are. And this is like one of them.
Yeah, this is one of them.
This is one of them where he's like, oh, you mean Germans? He's like, no, white English people. No, oh, Germans, though. Get it? I'm doing a cleverness. Like, I don't know what I kind of get what he thinks he's doing, but it fucking
totally falls
dumb.
It totally falls flat because the people of color refer to themselves as people of color. They may get into like other ethnic groups.
But also, why don't you care about what happens?
But when
in
they're
France,
up against
like, yeah, when do they ever self-identify that
when,
way?
No, they don't have when they're up against whitey, they just say people of color. Mm-hmm. Black bodies, brown bodies. They don't really have to discern between those are crappy details. They just talk about people of color and shove it down our throats.
Right, and the people of color have less in common than Europeans do. Like the Indian, subcontinental Indian, has far less to do with sub-Saharan African than English and German, who are genetic cousins. In fact, very similar genetically. I mean, you know, and in fact, of course, the history of these two countries, we could go into the Saxon tribes and whatever.
We're the best. 37 minutes on 6 minutes of video.
Yeah, we're good at it. We're very good at this.
Fuck.
We're good at what we do.
This is what happens is now we're like all the other prep we're not going
to
get to.
Well, that's fine. And we just have more
return to family values is a common conviction that we all hold. Because at the end of the day, we see the alternative. It's knife crime in London at record levels.
And how is that happening?
Who is doing
it?
Who is
doing
the
knife crime?
People.
Oh, I can't take it. To imagine being started.
The thing is, like, he knows. That's what pisses me off. He's been exposed to this shit, and Milo knows too.
Also minority white.
Absolutely. Minority English.
White as well, but English.
But English, that's the important part. But
I use the terms kind of interchangeably, so maybe we differ in that sense.
Well, but they're not. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not this minority Russian.
They're the same for the end point of my argument. Yes.
But I think the terminology we use is important because that's how subversion happens.
I understand.
That's how the Liberal Democrats are attacking the rich people.
Yeah.
You know,
what? Fuck the rich people.
We have to be key on the terms we use. But you're right. We have to close the borders. We have to be concerned about families.
But even if you close the borders, there's still a birth warfare, so to speak.
Well, if you actually look at the generational numbers, it actually goes down. Again, it's just the consequence of living in the first world.
What? So now he's like fucking Sadiq Khan, part and parcel, right? Part and parcel, right, Sergen?
Oh, and it's going to cause...
Why do you have to endure that increased crime rate at all? First of all, I don't even like crime arguments... But, like, they do have their place, because it's not just crime. That's not the only problem. It's one. But, like, this, we just have to let them assimilate for a couple generations and the crime rate goes down. Don't worry about it. Why do we have to tell that to all the people that are raped and stabbed in the meantime?
I can't. I don't know if I can go any further with this.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You want to talk about something that makes me sick and not hungry? Like, it's this. Fucking...
Yeah.
I'm ready to look at pictures from that 4chan thread now.
Sergen here has been deplatformed from multiple places. So, dude, just make that final jump. Just start promoting white ethnic politics.
Well,
is it so hard? Why is it so fucking hard? You've already been hit so hard with deplatforming. You've already taken the biggest bite that they could take out of you. It's already happened. So
the next step is jail. That's why.
Well, no. I think Sargon is a bit of an oaf and believes this stuff on some level because there's no reason for him not to be doing it. You know, he knows the arguments. He's been deplatformed as if he was promoting them.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Milo. So this must be either some kind of cowardly cope where they think they're going to get back in with the conservative movement or what? I don't know. But then the other thing is this. I want to say this. The whole white and English and white and blah, 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 that's an American term. This, there's some people that put this argument out there. I just want to be clear. Like, there's a, obviously, like, as a white nationalist, it's, like, perfectly valid for England to say we're a white country, but really just white English country, right? To kind of want to restrict that to people of the British ethnicities, that's fine. And I just, I'm so sick of this dissembling over the definitions. No one else does this. Like, look, yes, British is British, but it's also white. That's
people who are making that argument are just pussies. There's just, no, there's nothing intellectual to it. They don't want to be caught saying white because they think they're going to get in trouble and they don't want to look a certain way. They're just Jewish programmed into, oh God. If I say this, I'm gonna be associated with this, and it's just like, just fucking buck up and make saying white your own. You can do it.
Yeah,
just like if
you really want the world where you don't have to add the white modifier in front of British, you know what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You used to have it. You used to just say British person. Everyone knew. You don't have to say white because you know that they're white. You know what race they are. You know that they're all. It's like, as you know, John Cleese said, there's no more English people.
These terms are paperwork related now. It's like, what sort of citizenship documentation do you have on your person? Oh, English. Oh, so you're English. So that doesn't mean anything anymore.
So you can't be. You could be Pakistani. You could be white.
He just said you could be white Russian.
You like, make white meaningful when you deracinate your country like that.
That's why you have to say
white now. You can't get away from it because it's an identifier of a real English person, a white English person, not just any English person.
So you want some comic relief?
Yeah.
All right. So last night on Jazz and Jesse, we were talking about urbanization density. We were talking about urban density. Which, of course, I don't have my drops up because it's Jazz and Jesse, not this show. And now, of course, I can't find it. But it's like urbanization. I'm your density. Yeah. And it ended up as we said in prep in the same place to do the show. I watched Seattle is Dying, the documentary on the homeless drug addicted.
I wanted to see that.
Well, I have a portion here that we can all watch as a group just for fun.
Yes, I'm hoping this will be some light relief.
It's a little light. It's a little light. But here we go.
There is a cemetery in Seattle, a Jewish cemetery.
Oh, God!
Campers and RVs park next to it and stay. This man, Ari Hoffman.
Ari Hoffman!
This be happening in civilized society.
Says the cemetery has been violated repeatedly.
Prostitutes are working the woods. Drug addicts are working the woods. Our groundskeepers come in on Monday morning, and they find everything from a weekend of fun, which is needles in the ground, crystal meth on the tombstones, other drugs, garbage. They leave their garbage outside. They see feces on the tombstones. That's left over from whatever happened the night before.
By the way, the name of the cemetery is Beaker Holim. It means helping those who are sick. Beaker.
You're mad, aren't you?
I'm furious. I'm beyond furious. This has pushed me to a whole new limit.
Let's get the sandbags off this one, and we're going to pull the whole thing forward.
Ari has a company that sets up bouncy houses at concerts and festivals. He says it's not just the Jewish cemetery that's being desecrated.
That's the only one he cares about.
And I used to say, this place is great because the streets are so clean, it's so beautiful. You walk down the streets now, they smell like urine. The cemeteries are being desecrated.
Guess what he's going to do?
Why did your people vote for that?
Because there's needles.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Maybe
the,
that sounds like a you problem, Ari. But this sounds like some problem that.
It's like, finally someone's going to do something about it.
My office, bullets come flying through the windows at us. It's out of control. It's nonstop.
Oh, God.
And this, we,
so your office
we
is in the Gaza
better.
Strip?
And it's all preventable. It's all avoidable. It's all fixable. It didn't have to get like this. I wish I had faith in my government, but after two meetings with council members and nothing's changed, I don't really expect anything to change. We're going to have to do this ourselves.
Well, thanks for coming down, guys.
So guess what? He's going to run for city council.
A couple of months after that interview was done, Ari Hoffman was thrust into the spotlight because he voiced his outrage, who had no political aspirations of any kind, and who was urged by friends and frustrated citizens, decided to run for city council. And he has no future political aspirations beyond the council.
No.
The other day he said, I want to fix Seattle and then go back to work.
I don't know. I thought that was hilarious.
He's like, that guy's like absolute bait for like GOP boomers.
If that guy, if any,
oh, Jew, well, based
you're
Jew.
Like, if anybody has a hope to turn around Seattle in this problem, it's that guy. Like, he's the only one. Like, oh God, we can't.
What are we doing?
He's the only one that they won't talk. They can't call him a racist.
Yeah, he's the one they won't.
I mean, they will. Okay,
they
just
will.
So you know,
they can't get away
will,
with it.
But it won't stick.
It won't stick because they'll be like, "Well, you're an anti-Semite," and they so hopefully by harnessing, you know, the taboo against anti-Semitism, they'll be able to clean up the fucking homeless and
I don't trust
heroin addicted streets
trust
of Seattle.
It,
oh, but he has no further political aspirations, Michael. He just wants to clean up this Jewish cemetery.
Yeah, I mean,
put a bouncy house on it.
I don't know, man. I really feel like when you, it's just I can't trust Jews.
I know. And I was like, I'm watching this documentary. I'm getting all into it. The reports
Did
from
you
like
really the, watch 2.5 hours of a Metallica live concert.
Yes, dude.
No.
He watches these videos always come up.
That was just on in the background one day.
Yeah, but the
Oh, why
the
are
bar,
you getting that? You're getting
the red
wrong,
bar dude. Is all the way filled up, so you watch
I
the whole
thing.
Saw the whole
but,
thing.
But like while I was working.
Well, you
was...
Yeah, that's fine. Dude, it's fine. I don't
Do you
want
to listen
against
to
you? No,
it?
No, just... no. I wanted to make another point.
No, this is the one that sounds really bad and I was talking to Trent about it. Like, what did they do? And yeah. But anyway, but like I'm watching this documentary, I'm like getting into it. Like they sent out like no police officer would talk to them directly, so they drop these like anonymous leaflets
what,
for cops.
This guy did?
The no, not Ari Hoffman, the people who produced the documentary.
Oh, okay.
So they got all these anonymous responses from police officers, and so they started reading this and about what's going on in the city and what's being
skewing
done.
On?
Skewing on with like you know they've these the so called quality of life citations they just don't do anymore because
yeah, they stopped doing those
and,
in New York.
Yeah,
too.
It's crazy and. And just I'm getting all into it, and then suddenly I'm assault. My senses are assaulted with a Jewish cemetery. I'm like, no! Why can't I have one thing without having to deal with Ari?
Well, because what happens is Jews are super politically involved because of stuff like this. Like that's the other thing. Like
No. He only reluctantly went into politics.
Only reluctantly.
Well,
my hand was.
This thing is this. The thing is this. Jews are they are driven by a. Hyper sense of persecution,
yeah.
Which is part of what drives them to do the kinds of things that they do. And they go out and, you know, on some level, you know, you got to give them, I'm not going to say credit, but like you, when they do that, and if we can't muster the energy to do it,
yeah.
You know, this is what happens later.
Help. So, I'm being assaulted by my own golems. Like,
but that's, I mean, on some level though, it's like, how did Seattle get to that way to begin with? It's because of civil rights and racial equality and taboos against racism, all of which are enforced from above by Jewish organizations, which is why some people think, oh, a Jew is at the head of this. That means this thing is untouchable and can go places. But the problem is it never does. It never
yeah.
does.
There's something.
And the guy's motive of cleaning up his Jewish neighborhood, that will happen.
Yeah.
But no, whites won't benefit. I mean,
They'll make sure that there's no more like heroin addicts defecating on the Jewish cemetery.
Yes.
That's as far as
in fact go. they'll probably move
them to the white cemetery.
Yeah.
They'll probably get specific protections, like in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews, like they have the NYPD becomes and first of all they have their own police force, but then they have that's not even legal in any way, but it just gets away with doing its stuff, and then they have. Then they have actual police just guard their properties around the city when things
God,
get too
get that
hairy.
Done for me.
So they don't. This is the other thing. Jews will thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Now this guy, if you pressed him on it, oh, this is a racial issue. This is an issue with blacks and leniency and things like that. Like he's going to reject that. He's not going to let you do that. He's and he'll ultimately go back to his identity politics, and he'll get his Jewish neighborhood cleaned up.
Yep.
He uses this goyim energy to get it done, and then
goyim
he'll just
energy.
Demand it. Yeah.
So, I don't even want to watch this scene. This is
okay. Looks like we got some cat ladies here.
This is well, no, this is some Yonkers energy here, and you'll see these like the city government people are just like the shit-eating grins on their faces.
Last May 2nd at a town hall meeting in Ballard, simmering anger boiled over into all-out rage.
Look at this.
So why do we see so many people living
Overwatch.
Outdoors?
Living outdoors.
Will you manage these camps, and will you enforce the law?
There has evolved a profound disconnect. And rarely has it been more vividly.
You see the smirk. You see the smirks on the people.
Wait, go back. I didn't get to see it.
Ah, shit.
I mean, yeah.
Look at the smirk on this guy's face.
And look at what he's talking to.
Look at this frizzy hair and Deweisha.
Yeah.
Michael Bryan is deeply concerned about all of this.
He speaks
the profound disconnect, and rarely has it been more vividly laid out than in this exchange.
If property crime is committed, violence is committed, you need to call 911 and the police.
Sit down, Mike.
You've lost all credibility when you say... You said two words. You said, call 911.
That's a bunch of words.
Do you understand that the police have told us to vote you all out so that they can do their jobs? And you're telling us, call 911?
Look at him laughing. He's fucking laughing. I have it cut off. Let me pull this down. This dude is like ear to ear. Look at the grin on this fucker's face.
Holy shit,
you see that? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
I know you can. I'm saying people watching this video, like I'm zooming in on them in OBS here. This guy is fucking, he's disgusting. He thinks it's great. He's like, vote me out. Good luck. Like, I don't know anything about the, I don't even know what that guy's title is, but these people seem to think like there's
this
no,
is like the city council.
There's like, there's
or
no
representative.
Well, this is
setting.
a town hall or something, but it's like these people can't, they must know they can't be voted out for this.
Or if
like,
they can, the next person will just bow to the same pressure.
Yeah,
that
I don't know. Like,
to.
That's what
is
makes
he the
me,
only man there. He's the only male.
He
city
seems
mayor.
To be
yeah.
the yeah. only male on the city.
And
council.
He's like this. He's wearing this like canary yellow button down shirt and like blue jeans. He's like a total fucking.
There's nothing wrong with wearing a yellow shirt.
No, I mean he just looks like he's got this like casual fag going on.
Yeah, he's
that
like rocking
me.
Like the normcore look.
Yeah,
like this like the casual fag. He's not wearing a tablecloth. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
He just I don't know.
No, but it's like. It is infuriating because, first of all the women, and you know that these city council people, they have this session where, and look, when you have, there's a thing, this goes back to the whole NIMBY thing we've talked about, we've been talking about. These people are firm believers, they're firm anti-NIMBYs. Now, of course, they probably also don't have to deal with these problems themselves because of where they live. But there's a thing in city governments. And I know this from my time in New York City and particularly knowing people that were social workers. These kinds of gatherings are done and they're never taken seriously. That's why these people are sitting there
laughing.
And laughing. Because the people that come out tend to be older white people and they are dismissed as backward, racist, conservative from a previous time and something that will eventually pass.
Yeah, it's going to pass when these people don't exist anymore in the entire city.
Yeah, and that's one thing
tense.
About boomers. The one thing about boomers is we get annoyed at boomers because they're so fucking dumb on some issues, but they also will assert themselves. Whereas, like, Xers and...
I pay taxes, goddammit!
Yeah, exactly. There's a benefit to that. But the thing is, though, that doesn't...
God, I am a spiritually boomer. I do that, too.
That's good. But the other thing is, though, you have to also understand...
What do you mean the grill's closed? You sell burgers here! It's only 5:30. It's not even 5:30. You don't close till 6. Make me a
the
fucking
burger.
The
problem is that the city they don't get how politics works nowadays. So they think that like this. Look, I don't blame them for doing this. They should do this, but they also have to understand that the city council then has meetings with like national level, particularly a city like Seattle, like a major city. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have New York City is even more so. They're gonna have. People coming in, the national parties, political parties get involved, the national lobbies and think tanks and this high-level bureaucracy gang and non-Gentile organization gang, they get, you know, NGO gang, they get involved with these city councils and they give them, like, they'll have private meetings and they'll be like, here's our latest research on how to deal with the crime and the drugs and we have to always remember intersectionality and race and this and that and all these... So they come in with all this fucking gay-ass liberal theory, and they basically, in private meetings where you're public, you don't see it. Or if you have the option to see it, you just don't. Sometimes they put them on TV or something, but nobody watches, you know, on public access or something like that. But this is happening all the time. So in New York City, if there's ever... Now,
you know,
if there's ever
it,
a
these
meeting...
These boomers are watching it.
They're not watching that stuff, though. They don't know about that. They're unaware. They think that the government's there to serve them, and boy, are they wrong. The government's there to serve an ideology. And the government will have these experts come in. So the experts will be the ones that get the credence. Like the people that know about, oh, here's how we manage social relations or whatever. Or how here's how we manage crime problems. Like we've got all these new theories on managing crime. It's not just about arresting and locking up criminals anymore. We're talking about rehabilitation, all that kind of shit, right? So they have these people that come in. So they don't take seriously the people in the community.
Somewhere
like
in
anymore.
Here, the mayor says it's irresponsible to conflate homelessness with rising crime.
She actually says it.
Yeah, because
I'll never,
you know where
I'll
she
never,
got that?
Oh, man,
she
dude.
Got that from exactly what I'm talking yeah. about.
That is so profoundly ignorant of history. It's honestly jaw-dropping.
Yeah, somebody...
I'll never find
and it's
either.
Like, and they say, like, their shirts say, like, evidence-based solutions. It's like okay. that. They okay. mean, what they mean is, can you please lock up these fucking niggers for us? What the fuck? But the city won't do that. They can't do that.
Everyone they show is white on this one. Come on, you're being ignorant.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's in and yeah. of itself a kind of manipulation.
When I was
right?
reading Discipline Punished, that was one of the things the French government got in control after the revolution, is they had these mobs of just homeless vagrants wandering around doing petty crime, and they put a stop to that shit.
The revolutionary
now here
government.
It is. It's back.
I, hey, still, I don't understand, though. Like, what are they getting out of this? I mean, I refuse to believe that they're just pushing ideology. Like,
no,
like,
no,
is it, like, there's
not.
Like, there's a new form of city that they're trying to create, and this is yeah. just the growing pains of it, right? Like, they're trying to create, like, a gated off, like, billionaire, millionaire row. And then just, like, everybody underneath is just consume product, create product, live in Chinese shoebox type apartment. Like, is it, I think that's what they're trying to build. And right now is just the in-between time. We're like I see, like, the homeless heroin addict... petty criminals and sometimes not so petty criminals mm-hmm. is just a means of removing these people and their offspring, the millennial children they have, should they be able to afford to live there, like getting these sort of benighted whites out of the way so they can build this dystopia later, right? Like, I mean,
that's a possible explanation,
like this, because there's no, because there's no, like, what other incentive could there be to, like, have this
involved.
Festering, I think there has to be something, because there's no incentive to have a city that are, that's
well,
otherwise very nice, with, like, every open-air public space is a dangerous, like, crime-ridden tent city that nobody likes. Like, it does not take much to make that go away. Like, even if you just go, like, even if you go apeshit and just, like, grab them all and lock them all up, like, no charges forever, or just enforcing crime and putting these people in jail and then going after drug dealers and not having this thing where you're allowed to carry 3 grams of heroin on you and nobody's going to write you up. Nobody's gonna bring you in. You're not going to get arrested. Like, it's so easy to not have those policies.
Well, one of the things
this would dry up on its own. So you got to think, like, they're allowing this to happen because it's a means to some end. And the question is, what's the end?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying, because it seems, like, hard to believe that based on... Now, with this frizzy-haired mulatto, I could see it being pure ideology.
Sure. Well, I mean, she's a foot soldier. She's not, yeah. She's not in charge.
Yeah, so you wonder, like, all right, what is it that they are doing? I think it's not... I think that there are probably dollars coming into the city from federal government and possibly state government that are ultimately all flowing from the federal government that are reliant on certain kinds of policies. Also, remember when Obama was president and Eric Holder was attorney general, he was going after, like, police departments, even down to the local level,
right.
for disproportionate enforcement and things like that. So that could be part of it. Another part of it could be there might be some scheme, drive down property values, get these whites out of their houses, and then the whole thing can be condemned and we can build, like, our shoebox apartments or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a little bit...
Because that's what's going on.
I would need
on.
More to say that for sure, but it's possible
that's what
Manju's, that
that's what Manju's column was about.
Oh, really?
It was about, like, these dense urban units being in these... the NIMBYism of white liberals in, like, Beverly Hills and shit that are putting a stop
to. Oh, the white,
like,
liberals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, this is what he's talking about. Like, cities are becoming unlivable. Blame the white liberals for it, is what he's saying. And it's like all these rezoning schemes where near mass transit stops, they're going to make it so there will be no more one single family houses. It's going to be apartment complexes, duplexes, things
yeah.
like that. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Urban density is the goal here. And since he's a street shitter, from a densely populated
also
country,
the funny
he
is,
like,
oh, did you ever think you would hear a criticism of liberalism in the New York Times? Well, here you go. Why is the New York Times, a very supposedly liberal paper, why are they promoting that? Well, one, Jews are left out of it completely. Not only that, Jews are misidentified.
Yeah, they're misidentified.
White. Now, you're never going to get Beverly Hills. They're never going to happen there, right? Mm. Another funny thing about New York City is that you don't see this in New York City.
No, you don't.
And,
oh, we put it up on screen.
You know,
this is I saw that I was telling Jazz and Jesse's audience last night that I actually saw this. I went off the highway in Los Angeles to get to mm-hmm. the La Brea Tar Pits Museum,
mm-hmm.
and you saw this shit firsthand. It was fucking scary.
Yeah, you
fucking frightening.
And the people
disgusting.
That live there are they're criminals. Okay, they will do. They will do. If they, now, Grant, a lot of times
it was like, oh, that light's red. We're going anyway.
Yeah, you're not stopping at a red light around these people. They're going to come right up to you. They are criminals. They are degenerates. They're drug addicts. They're potentially violent. They're potentially sexually deviant. They're all kinds of stuff. You don't want anything to do with these people. If you tell me, oh, homelessness and crime, really? Go walk through this neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I believe I found that clip.
And the fractured, siloed approach of homelessness in our region.
To help combat homelessness epidemic.
And the homelessness crisis.
We have a crisis around housing and homelessness.
If we won't even name the thing that is destroying Seattle.
No, name the what? I'm sorry. That was the wrong clip.
The guy says name. What do you want to name? That guy probably won't name it either.
No, he names it. The problem's not homelessness and housing. He says it's addiction. He says this is a drug problem.
It's just another release valve.
Element so, of society.
But I wanted to point out something out about
a problem.
I want to point something out about
under control.
Sorry, Alex. I didn't mean to bully you.
Yeah, I don't know. People act like this is a new thing. No, this has existed before, and our civilizations evolved, and we put a stop to it, and now it's back because we're de-evolving.
Yeah,
it's not fucking progress.
Yeah. No. There's no. This is the conceits of these ideologies. But again, I am increasingly of the opinion. A few years ago, I'd have thought it was pure ideology. But I'm increasingly of the opinion that the ideologies mask other agendas, and I think that that's true.
What I think. It masks another agenda. There's no way this is about equality and
no.
There's something
else here. That's how they.
This is weaponized. This issue.
Yeah, that's how they placate the those boomers aren't going to be placated with it. The ones in that
meeting.
But
they're going to die soon.
You'll get younger whites. You'll guilt younger people out of saying shit about it because of
what
that.
Hope do we have?
You fucker.
But I want to make a point about New York City, which is that you don't see this in New York City. You could still even get in trouble for having weed on you in New York City. I think now they've reduced it to like a ticket, but you certainly can't have heroin. And there's no tent cities that crop up now. They did get rid of some of the. Interestingly enough, it's under a Gentile mayor, de Blasio, that they got rid of some of the quality of life violations. But the Jews on the Upper West Side and other really wealthy Jewish neighborhoods complained so bitterly they had to start enforcing stuff again.
Well, they tried.
Because New York City, the reason is, New York City has a police force the size of a small army. And the homicide rate and the crime rate in New York City, first of all, 99% of crime is done by non-whites in New York City. Wow, really surprising, right?
That sounds like disproportionate. That's like a disparity in
enforcement.
It seems like
that might be due to racism, right? But so the police force is basically the size of a small army. The crime rate for the size of the city is actually very low. And why is this? Because it's Jew home turf. It's Jew home turf. Now, also Manhattan below.
They also have their own police force.
They have their own police force, but that's in Brooklyn. Okay, so that's in Brooklyn around the settlements.
Settlements.
The Jewish settlements. The Jewish settlements.
He's not wrong.
The Jewish settlements where they are literally surrounded by blacks. That's what they have. In Manhattan, where the wealthy liberal Jews, like the Mike Bloomberg types, live, right? And Mike Bloomberg has mansions everywhere, God knows. But Manhattan below 110th Street is like, it's very safe. I mean, it's like unbelievably safe given the density and the diversity. That's because it's run with an iron fist. I mean, there have been people that have tried to do like even protests and demonstrations and stuff in Times Square. It never comes off. Police just put barricades literally everywhere. Like, go, you can't come here. And you don't fuck with the NYPD. You don't fuck with them. So it's like they are a small army. And you sometimes see these Pajits walking around, these Pajit cops, but they're just giving out tickets. If there's a real thing, you get two big, burly Irish and Italian guys to
come
around.
What the fuck's going on here?
What the fuck is
this?
What's
the problem?
Yeah, and they don't get fucked with. Like, this is the thing.
You can't breathe?
Yeah. You know why? It's Jewish.
You know why you can't breathe?
It's Jew home
turf.
Because
I'm going to punch you in the gut and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. No, it's Jew home turf, man. So there are certain advantages. Now, the prices are fucking out of this world to live in that city. I'm glad I'm out of it. Yeah. The density sucks. It smells like garbage in the summer. There's a lot of problems. And there is crime. There is a lot of unpleasant things about it. But in the parts, it's Jew home turf. So they get protection. There are parts of New York that get protection. You're not going to see these tents popping up. This tents popping up. And what that proves is that they know how to deal with it. They know that coming down with an iron boot will deal with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
They are letting this happen in these white people's neighborhoods because they want to get them out. I think you're right. It's got to be.
It's got to be something like that. The city of the future.
And look, all of these women's.
That's what I'm getting to.
I know,
this,
right?
But this,
this people shitting on tombstones. You got Wyman running.
We're gonna do the
Wyman.
I just want to say, this: the city of the future is like an ultra rich class of Jewy type people that are managing things, and just this, like the middle class gone. And
New
it's
York
just the
is
bottom.
Has
it's just
basically
a slave class.
New York's basically achieved it already.
Yeah, and that's and they've achieved it without doing this. I don't know what De Blasio is just kind of a crazy person, I guess.
Yeah, they don't like him.
That's like
Jews are
probably going to get primaried or something, right?
Which
he's such
a piece of shit.
Really bad.
Everybody hates that guy. I don't know how he won. I mean,
well,
he won by being a Democrat. And
like
and,
the Republicans in New York, like, it was over at that point.
Well,
after
Giuliani and Bloom, Republicans ruled Republican mayors for 24 years straight.
Right, and they had enough of it.
But they were liberals. Like, yeah. Giuliani and Bloomberg were liberal on everything. It's like there's Democrats.
They were liberals who did stop and frisk.
I mean,
which
Bloomberg
was a racist.
Had been a Democrat.
Yeah.
Bloomberg had been, but the reason, Giuliani was like a no-nonsense, no-crime guy, and the Jews loved it. He cleaned
and
up
And Bloomberg
the city.
Went up with that.
But then Bloomberg kept it up, or we used to call him Doomberg. Because he was like, this is Jewish turf. This city is owned by the Jews, so we're going to keep enforcing the law. Like, all my liberalism goes out the window, right? Yeah.
But anyway,
he also
Womans.
Used to be a Democrat, Bloomberg. So, and now he's an independent. He doesn't identify a Republican anymore.
Well, he went, he was Democrat, then he switched to the Republican so that he could basically just get the baton passed from Giuliani to him. And then once he got in, he switched to independent and then somehow wrangled the city into giving him a third term, which used to be a two-term limit on government.
The funny thing about mayors. New York City is that the continuity of government style is actually... It goes like there's two. The deviation was Dinkins, who because he was black, the crime went out of fucking control.
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember the Dinkins years,
well, that's
terrible.
that's what De Blasio's doing. It's
yeah,
the same
like
shit.
If you go
it's
like
back to the '70s, back to the early '80s.
Yeah, now De Blasio is doing it again because he's a fucking he's a moron. He's just an idiot.
He's married like a black lesbian.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So like
what?
You know, when you had
you don't know about Mayor De Blasio? I feel like
he's married to a black lesbian.
We said this to you before.
I always feel like everybody should know everything about New York City, like all over the world, no matter what. That's just my bias, I guess.
Yeah,
because like, we hear about it all our lives.
It's my perspective.
That's what's on like the TV news, like at dinner time. Not that I watched anymore, but when I was a kid, like, oh, what's happening in New York City today? A city that I live an hour and a half
from.
But I
mean,
and
New York
was
a leading edge in this because there were bad crime problems. There were bad crime problems, and they did drive out the ethnic white neighborhoods where the people had homes. The Queens used to be.
Yeah.
Queens was ethnic Italian and Greek and Irish, and they drove them out.
Yeah.
They drove them out with blacks. And, like, you're telling me identity politics, they played it. They did it.
They
managed. And now what are they doing? Now they're gentrifying. It's exactly what's happening. This is what they do. Because these ethnic whites would have stayed in those neighborhoods. They would have
you mean
maintained
German,
those properties.
Germans?
Yeah.
You mean Germans? You mean Queens?
The other thing about these ethnic whites is these Italians and these Greeks and such is that, like, I always used to say,
well, they're
like,
not white,
to the
they?
Extent you say, like, white doesn't matter, like,
they have olive skin.
Tell that Italian dad, his daughter brings home a Moulinian, he's going to hit the fucking roof. His daughter brings home, like, a nice white waspy
guy.
Well,
you're not white.
He's not going to get mad. Now, this is the other thing. These parents, not only... If his daughter brings home like a waspy dude, the parents will fucking flip themselves. They'll be so happy. Versus, like, if she brings home a nigger, forget about it. It's over. But she brings home a non-Italian, like a Germanic or an Anglo white dude.
Yo, you mean
they will
Germans.
Be like, yes.
You mean English? Say English.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
Let's look at these ladies here. So the documentary is going along fine. Like, you have a little hiccup with the Jewish cemetery and Avi Hoffman.
Oh, God.
But then, so he identifies.
All they have to do is bring him in a room and be like, Avi, listen, this is how we're doing this bit.
But
we'll fix the cemetery. But like,
yeah, that's basically how it's going to work.
Yeah.
It takes the turn where it re-identifies the problem as one of heroin addiction and meth addiction and crack addiction, I guess, rather than homelessness, which is it makes sense.
So let's start killing drug dealers. I'm serious.
Right. Well, they start going.
Remember
into
when
that.
Donald Trump said that?
Yeah.
That was...
I mean, that's what immediately came to my mind. None of this, like, let's enforcement, but it turned into this program that they run
program.
In Providence. This program that runs in Providence, Rhode Island, not Long Island. They have an addiction treatment program, a very, very highly advanced one inside the jail, where basically they just put these people on methadone, Suboxone, or Vivisectone. I can't remember the other one. It starts with a V. whatever. They treat these people with the heroin addiction drugs in jail, get them off it, and then they have facilities to go back to for the rest of their lives, basically every week to pick up their
methadone clinic.
Yeah, they get them enrolled in this, and they have a 93% like success rate with these people. And it's like, this is what the documentary turns to, and it's just like, and I'm just like, this is so gay. I want like illiberal solutions to this crap. And then of course, like they put this image macro up, like this, who this is who came up with. Yeah,
I mean.
These are the architects.
Wait, can we get the Meraki drop here? Can we get the? I think it's really appropriate. We definitely needed it.
Wham an alarm.
Can we get that again?
Yeah.
Wham an alarm.
He's just like. I mean, look at this one. Look at the one in the upper right corner. I can't think of what's like.
Dude, all these women are the same. These are all cut from the same template. Like, look at these glasses, concerned faces.
It's just the concern.
There's more concern in this picture. It's like. I'm overdosing on concern.
I'm addicted to concern.
Yeah, dude.
I have a problem.
Look at the one on the lower right.
The upper right is one that really triggers me, because she looks like one of the characters in the old Disney Robin Hood cartoon. Like, alms for the poor. She looks like one of those drawings. I can't remember which character.
Dude, this is whammin'
fat,
alarm.
Middle-aged women with glasses.
This is whammin' alarm.
Just ban women from politics entirely.
Yes!
We just do that.
It's been done.
It's like, I don't even want to know if this is successful, what they're doing. Like, I don't care. I really care.
It's gay.
Well,
the idea that those
somebody.
Kinds of things are successful is a cancer. We just take these people out of society.
No.
That's it.
With this, they're going to put them back into society.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
We talked about the issue of rehab versus punishment and discipline and things like that. Their ideology now, and on some level, this is ideology, but on some level, it's also malicious. I mean, we can debate all day over where one starts and the other ends. There's a malicious. These people are motivated somewhat by malice in that they're malicious towards normal people because they deal with these damaged creatures. And they become hateful towards normal people because normal people, when they are allowed to just give their normal reactions, they do stuff like they go into that city council meeting like, get these people out of our neighborhood. We don't want them here. So they're reactionaries, right? They're NIMBYs. And these women, their part of their sympathy for their pets is motivated by their malice and hostility towards the reactionary normal people. And their objective in this is always rehabilitation and reintegration into society.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck that.
These people have to.
How about removal? Physical removal.
No, they have to drink. They have to drink this stuff every day at noon for the rest of their lives. It's like, what happened to like?
This seems like a stable fucking solution long term.
Like,
and these people should be allowed back into.
Is
society.
There a solution where they don't have to do that anymore either? Like they're just always addicted to opiates forever. That's what it sounds like.
They are.
It's terrible.
And I don't believe it's 93% success rate for a second. Because I'm like, if this person is an opiate addict, if they're a heroin addict. And you put them, and you leave them on drugs in prison to keep them docile, and then you put them back out on the street, and you're like, please comply with this regime of coming into this clinic every day for this drug.
You know they're selling that shit. They're selling half the stuff they're getting. There's a thriving black market going on.
Or they're not, but they're also just doing heroin again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that a heroin addict doesn't, when I'm back on the street, go back to heroin. I don't believe it. I think it'd be more like a 7% success rate. That's what I would believe.
Yeah, it's amazing how self-serving this model is. It's like,
and here's the new architecture popping.
Oh, no. It's just
the pharmaceutical companies get enriched.
There's
and
a
then
bit here.
Any time something goes wrong, they just say, well, we need to hire more female social workers and rethink our strategy.
So, that's another thing, the pharmaceutical companies.
So we need to make a collage of our faces like this, and the three of us, and this is the solution that I have. Let's watch this part of the video, and then we can go to break. Here we go. This is great.
Look at this place. Look at all the buildings, the infrastructure. What if this was a specialized facility where we could use all of our resources and knowledge to fight this?
What if this was a bunch of gas chambers?
Doctors and counselors and caseworkers were available.
What if there's a bunch of
treatment drugs that we know work, the ones we know save lives? What if this was a very specific place where sick people learn how to live life again? Job training, therapy, treatment, all of it in one place. It would have to be.
What if there was a theater and a soccer league and a pool and an orchestra?
Because the sickness is
delousing chambers.
That doesn't really work.
Wooden doors.
But eventually they would leave and have jobs and families.
No,
and
no, no.
Maybe continue to use.
So I think there's a.
You can check out anytime
here.
You want, but you can never leave. That's how I will
this
get
is that rehabilitation model. This is a very old, old model.
Yeah. So there's a key.
This
here,
is some. This is some kind of. This is a This is an abandoned prison.
Actually. Yeah, I know.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
They don't use it for anything.
Why not fill it up?
That's what I'm saying.
But there's another. There's another key here.
Yeah.
To what he said at the very beginning, filled with caseworkers and officers and social work. It's like, well, okay, at some point this is a jobs program now.
Yeah.
So it's a jobs program
for cat ladies.
This is cat lady. What is it? Monster.com. This is cat lady LinkedIn. Right? This is cat lady jobs program. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that?
So, yeah, cat lady.
This is cat lady. This is literally cat lady rent seeking. This is how cat ladies rent seek. Please, we'll take care. And that's part of it too. That's another part of the agenda. We have all these cat ladies that are loyal party voters. Okay, again, the party provides for the party members. The cat ladies are loyal party members, and they are given jobs and employment and work and bureaucracy and direction by the party to do this stuff. That's part of it. This rehab model is cat lady fucking rent seeking. That's another part of it.
And the best
do you
part,
think there's any sort of evidence-based approach to see if that shit would work? Do you think if it didn't work, anyone would give a fuck? No.
I don't know.
No, they don't care if it doesn't work because if it doesn't work, then
they're claiming
just,
a
93, okay.
They're not claiming a 93% success rate in Providence, Rhode Island.
If it doesn't work, then we hire more cat ladies. And also, we also have to... And then you can get big business involved because, oh, we need to construct all these
think about
big
the
facilities.
You know what the thing
Look
is
at
about
all this
the,
infrastructure.
You know what the thing about the 93% success rate is? It's probably based on the cat lady tendency to give these people endless second chances and never declare them a failure, no matter what they're up to.
Yeah.
So part of that 93% is somebody
sure
who
those
relapsed.
Numbers are fudged. I don't buy them at all.
I just think that they're not just they just don't condemn anybody.
What
to
does
the
success
your,
mean? It's also like what yeah. is their definition?
I think it just means they keep coming back.
Yeah.
Only 7% don't come in for counseling and to get their meds anymore.
But so. That what if
well,
the, what if one of them commits
opiates,
a crime?
What do you expect?
Right.
I mean.
Yeah. But what if one of them commits a crime in the meantime? It's still success as long as he keeps going for his treatment.
I would imagine if you went back to prison, you would be
Talk
a failure.
About that. NIMBYs come into this because I worked in a building in Manhattan that had a methadone clinic on one of the floors.
Oof,
and we would always, like, when we'd see the patients, the customers. And I love how these places call their people clients and customers.
Clients.
It's like, no, these are fucking drug addicts, all right? Yeah. They're fucking
you're victims.
These are fucking degenerates. So these people would be in the whenever the they would be going up in the elevator, the people in my office would just wait and let them go because no one wanted to be in the elevator with these people. And the people in my office were all very good liberals, very nice, good New York City liberals. But they did even in their own small way what they could to avoid these scumbags. And I'll tell you that methadone clinic, this is showing all whites. In terms of the user, this
yeah, let's
is not
do that right now. I'm gonna
this is not
right.
a representative hold sample. Well, shall we
a,
say?
Here's a white addict. That's Michael Manfredi, I believe his name was. Here's another white addict.
Broadfoot.
Well, Broadfoot. That's kind
it of. Could be, it looks like maybe he's got some native in there.
There's a white another addict white right one. There. Where's this broad? There's another broad here. I missed her. Oh no, she's some kind of doctor.
I absolutely think that the. The showing of only whites is socially engineered.
I was able to find some data real fast on whether this approach works or not.
Please do.
So there were nine studies they included in this meta-analysis. Three studies reported no significant impacts of compulsory treatment compared with control interventions. Two studies found equivocal results but did not compare against control condition. Two studies observed negative impacts.
This guy's not
treatment.
White.
And they had 22% of these studies had positive impact on the outcomes, criminal recidivism and drug use. So that 93% figure is fucking
here's this guy.
Bullshit.
Yeah, this guy.
No way that it's 93% effective. They're doing something here.
Cherry picking.
Funny with
what
the,
they're doing is cherry picking. They found a stat that they liked from Providence. They didn't look at a meta-analysis. They didn't look at a larger range of studies on this. They didn't look at larger data sets. They found a small data set that, for whatever reason, matched what they wanted, and they went with it.
There's a white
addict. So this documentary then becomes an advertisement for catladymonster.com. Jesus fucking Christ. Get that guy. Just whatever his problems are, like it's like I'm like Joe Biden circa 1988. I don't care. I'm sure this guy had a rough fucking life.
It's not my problem.
It can't be.
It's like his rough life has been made my problem because like the people that are in charge of making it not my problem aren't doing their job.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, here's the one black guy they show in the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a conscious choice. We know that the news.
What's funny is like the black guy does extremely heinous shit. Good stuff. Oh, I muted it. Sorry.
Beaten and choked and robbed. Police say Louis Arby also urinated on the floor. Afterwards, police say he left through the same window he'd entered through. The victim was treated for bleeding on the brain, a broken nose, and other injuries. She was 71 years old. It was a shocking and disturbing crime, but perhaps we shouldn't have been all that surprised.
Doesn't shock me.
Just 4 days before the rape, just 96 hours before police say he scarred one woman's life forever, Louis Arby III was arrested here, sitting next to the fountain, right outside the King County Courthouse. Police say he was selling methamphetamine.
Right outside
That's
the courthouse.
In the back of the squad car after the arrest. He was booked and then released almost immediately. Our criminal justice system decided that he shouldn't spend even 24 hours in jail. But even a brief look at his record would have shown that Louis Arby had come from California, where he'd spent 19 years in prison for kidnapping, robbery, and carjacking. And had prosecutors looked a little more closely, they'd have known that Arby was the only suspect in a case 3 months prior in which a woman was taken hostage, forcibly shot full of drugs, and viciously raped and beaten for 15 hours. The King County Prosecutor's Office says, in this case, we had information that he had a 1995 California conviction for kidnap to commit robbery and other offenses. The prosecutors assigned to the investigation had no knowledge of other pending investigations.
Black alert.
And so we are left with a question. How is it that a man is arrested in front of a courthouse in possession of a deadly drug that destroys lives? How is it that this man, who has a long history of violence, doesn't even spend 24 hours in jail? How is it that he is sent right back onto the streets?
So, the case for lynch mobs.
I mean, I don't recommend such things, but like that's basically what you used to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, theoretical. But no, like this guy,
there's another,
like,
another white girl.
Wow, which is like
so,
a gem.
So this is the end outcome of this rehabilitation criminal justice model is cases like this. Looks like it's really been a fucking success.
Yeah. There's no rehabilitation. There was a time when somebody that kidnapped and drugged and raped somebody and beat them 15 hours. Like, let's just
here's
end.
My guy We're right just, here.
Oh, geez, wow, go. This guy, wow, oosh.
Is that a straw sticking out of his hair?
It's like dreadlocks and shit. This guy's a musician.
Oh, of course.
This guy went to Seattle like 30 years late to start a grunge band, I think. He's addicted to meth. And there's actually a great, they have this great police video of them trying to apprehend him. He just like, you know those metal garbage cans? He pulls the plastic can out of it and he just gets in it and crouches in so the cops can't get him. And they just have to stand off for hours because he won't get out of the garbage can. He's just yelling at them and spitting at them. It's insane. I'm watching this with my wife. I'm like, why aren't they just batoning his fucking head? It's like, beat him over the head, pull him out of the fucking thing. And take him in wherever you got to take him. It's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, it's all these light-skinned addicts is all they show in this.
That's on purpose.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. But it is funny, the only one they show is the raping, kidnapping.
That was like
the
least
the
bad black guy they found.
Probably.
That's why they only... they cherry-picked him as the least bad. So, yeah, that gives you an indication.
There's another old white man yelling and screaming on the street. This guy. Another... Oh, you can't see his face on our screen. But anyway, we should take a break.
How old is this?
We should.
Where is this documentary from? When is it from?
I think it's fairly recent. I mean, that police video they showed, that guy said 2017, but as far as I know, I remember this just came out like within the last month or two. I saw people sharing it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. It's being shared everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's good shit. Anyway. So
I mean, it's instructive in its own right, shall we say.
Yes. All right, so let's take a break and we'll do Suicidal Solidarity. We'll come back and...
Yeah.
I don't know what we'll do after that, but we'll be right back.
We got stuff.
We got a lot of stuff.
All I fear and pieces, we live in a society.
All I fear and pieces, we live in a society.
We live in a society. All I fear and pieces.
Suicidal solidarity. Suicidal solidarity.
BBC reporter Danny Baker is fired for tweeting a picture of a new British royal mud baby as a chimp in people clothes. Dingoes at the Reserve Bank of Australia printed a typo on millions of $50 bills. And all the blacks on the Red Sox baseball team refused to visit the White House, as if anyone cares. In cooperation with Graf Rudolph, this is Trent Holmgren with Suicidal Solidarity. As it said that degeneracy and corruption in the Weimar Republic was one of the direct causes of Adolf Hitler's rise to power in Germany in the 1930s. If that's still true, then holy shit, fam! We're right on track for a Fourth Reich, as long as Germans can get the gnarled Jewish cock out of their collective mouths. In today's Babylon Berlin, the manager of the notorious Gorlitzer Park has come under heavy fire. After creating zones for drug dealers to conduct their business. Amid harsh political criticism, the dealers say they have few options. This is the most retarded German solution to a problem since the female mayor of Cologne told German women to maintain an arm's length of distance from refugees. The Krauts are all about neat, orderly lines and boundaries, except when it comes to their own fucking border. So instead of giving the pushers the Duterte treatment and thoroughly ventilating their bodies with leads, the demarcate areas where they can sell their poisons, as if that's going to do anything but create no-go zones inside a city park. It's the Waterhead German version of gun-free zones. Yes, this is the same Berlin in which Mohammed is now the top baby name. Not just the top five or top three, number fucking one! And the ruthless efficiency of German bureaucracy has ensured that it's not the biggest cities that suffer from this horse shit. In the Bavarian town of... fuck. Aschenbergen. The special ed school has canceled its planned spring festival because it happens to overlap with Ramadan. Sorry, little German kiddos, you can't have your fun time fucking festival because your new brown classmates and their stupid customs are more important. Germans are so cucked now that they will even take festivities away from retarded kids in order to avoid offending Muslims, which, ironically enough, is not only cucked, but retarded as well. And queer. And when you see that only 0.09% of Syrian refugees in Germany have returned to their homelands, whilst 76% are still on welfare, and compare those stats with the place like Switzerland, which recently deported the radical imam of the infamous An-Nur Mosque in the city of Winterthur back to Somalia for preaching violence against non-believers, you get the idea. Okay, Germany, that's enough out of you. How about the Belgians? How are they doing these days? Well, according to the New Observer Online, not very fucking good. Public buses will no longer stop at the Brussels North bus station, located just a few blocks away from the European Parliament after non-white invaders who camped out illegally at the site caused a scabies, tuberculosis, and malaria outbreak. Wow, the trifecta. Only in Clown World are such deals possible, and, Allah willing, for a limited time only. The station, which is packed with brown folk from every part of the third fucking world using the large structure as a shelter after illegally invading Europe, is now so overrun that even the police only go there heavily armed and in pairs. The whole lot of them should be moved to the European Parliament building by force, have them squat and shit there among all the Eurocucks who continue to enable this nonsense. Up in Sweden, the Muzzies are doing just their thing. The Muslim community in the Swedish municipality of Vaxjo has increased so dramatically that they're now planning to build a giant mosque to hold at least 1,000 people, possibly with the help of foreign financial backers in the Middle East. The imam added that the new mosque would be a mix of traditional and modern architecture, and would feature a prominent minaret as well. Last year, the Muslim community was able to get permission from local authorities to broadcast their call to prayer publicly, despite opposition from the populist Sweden Democrats, who voiced their concerns. Saying,
prayer announcements in public places and in foreign languages are not part of Swedish society.
Society. Implying. Keep fighting the good fight, guys. Someone's got to do it. Across the North Sea, the United Kingdom is all up in the news space these days as Prince Harry and his octoroon wife, Meghan Markle, celebrated recently born Prince 56%. Honor killings continue to make the headlines as mixed-race fellow Kane Burns has admitted to killing his Algerian friend Mohamed Megherbi with a goddamn sword for insulting his mama. Cardiff police also found a rusty machete, a wood axe, and a taser at Burns' home, and in Great Britain, owning such gardening tools just adds to your level of guilt. Nothing of value was lost, etc., etc. The Rotherham sex abuse case continues to be news, as well as after police arrested 40 suspects over the last 2 months in relation to the probe. The National Crime Agency revealed that two women and 38 men from Sheffield, Rotherham, Leeds, Dewsbury, and Maidstone were questioned over historic sexual abuse and exploitation of victims as young as 11 years old, alleged to have taken place between 1997 and 2015. All suspects arrested or interviewed since March in relation to the NCA probe have been released or bailed pending further
inquiries. Detective said in a press release, which for sure will not come back to bite the British authorities in their arses whatsoever. But a somewhat lighter note that highlights the growing cognitive dissonance of the anti-white European left, the president of the British Pakistani Youth Council has come under fire for comments made in a series of Facebook posts in 2014 in which he praised Adolf Hitler for killing Jews. Mr. Kamran Ishtiak, who once hosted David Cameron when he wanted to spend some proper time out of Westminster, said he would salute Adolf Hitler providing he killed more Jews than Muslims. One based Facebook post reads,
"I know that Hitler was a racist, and to be honest, he would have killed Muslims too if he got the chance, but you know what? I would salute him still if he killed 90 Muslims and 92 Jews."
Shit! We would too, Cameron.
"If it's on my Facebook, I said it,"
Mr. Istiak confirmed when interrogated about the posts by local media. He goes on,
"To be honest with you, I feel bad about the Jews who are killing the Palestinians now,"
he told Birmingham Live when asked if he felt the same way now.
"Not the Jews who are leaving Israel, there are Jews who support Palestine. I was reading today in the media that there are Jews leaving Israel because Israel didn't live up to their expectations. Okay, but Jews, American Jews, yes, I feel like that about them. The ones who are murdering the Palestinians, I do feel that about them. And that's what I wrote there. It's about the Jews."
Hold on to your peppered Anguses, it gets better. When asked his views about whether the Holocaust took place and whether he believed 6 gorillion Jews were murdered, he said,
"To be honest, I don't believe that. Every attack, anything on Jews, is exaggerated. Yeah, I think that was an exaggeration too."
Holy shit! Add this Paggy to TRS right fucking now and grant him a paywall pass. This Muslim interloper has one weird trick to upset the Jews' entire program of demographic replacement, and it's goddamn incredible. Go outside and enjoy these Mayflowers, fags. We'll catch you next week.
That guy's like Stryker's best friend now.
He's like still going. There's like another minute of post-roll. Has he been talking to Rock? I thought we had another minute before I had to hit the drop.
But this is just the whole... Wow, this is a long outro.
Well, I mean, this is... I played the bumper music, but it's like there's just blank at the end here.
Oh, it's just no sound?
I guess it's empty, unless like suddenly like in 50...
Is there like a, is there like a gag?
I don't know. I'm not going to find out because it's going to ruin my show, so I'm going to stop it.
Yeah.
I always yell at Rock about that. Like every time Rock does a bit, he leaves like 30 seconds of music at the end, and sometimes there's like a jump scare at the very end of it.
Yeah.
No, we're not some kind it. Of like, we're not doing he'll say the N word one more time.
We're not doing it.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But,
I'm exhausted. I was yelling the whole time.
Yeah. That was quite very high energy.
High energy.
But yeah. So
well done.
We have a whammin' alarm.
Oh, wow. You know what? Oh, man. Our mics. I didn't turn our mics back up. See, that's what happens, Trent.
Oh, wow.
It's all Trent's fault.
So we were just like muted.
We weren't muted, but that was
that's
very,
great.
That was very
that's
low.
That's great. That means the listener cranked up their volume and now their ears have been exploded.
Oh, no, gosh. No, they're just not going to be able to hear us because maybe I'll be able to fix that and post a little bit, but I thought we had another minute left on that bit.
Yeah. It's okay.
It was just a minute of blank space.
But now we have Whammin' Alarm.
Oh, you want Whammin' Alarm?
I think we should definitely do
Whammin' Alarm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk about Naomi.
This is Naomi Wolf.
Naomi.
We're going to talk about Naomi Klein. She wrote that book, No Logos, where she goes after E. Michael Jones.
Yes, No Logos. It's like an anti-Catholic work by Naomi Klein Wolf. Mm-hmm. Naomi Kleinfelters. She's also tall and gangly and walks weird. But now we got Naomi Wolf, who wrote a book
about figs.
Called. No, check this out. Her book is not just about fags. It's called Outrages.
Oh.
And it's basically
no pit bulls because I'm worth it. That's very nice.
So let me find a little bit on this Naomi Wolf outrage. This is a big story because basically she already Outrages, sex censorship and the criminalization of love.
Criminalization of buggery. Fuck
so
you.
Basically it's a book that's about perversion. Like people be not liking homosexuals and legal stuff about that. But as we shall see, she did not do her homework. She did not do her research. And even the BBC announcer, once again, we have a BBC announcer BTFOing a Jew that didn't do their research a second time in 2 weeks. He's being like overly nice about it. He wrecked her.
It's kind of funny. Like she expect these like crotchety old, like liberal,
well, maybe not the other one, but this guy. She's like expecting
this guy's
him,
a liberal. Yeah.
He's expecting him to sit there and take it that the history of my country's government is this terrible, like covered up, like crime that you think is so terrible. And I'm just going to sit here and like apologetically like be embarrassed for the history of my forebears. Like it's like no, they're actually not doing that. Like it's like funny. Like wow, who does that work on? Like it works over here on this side of the pond.
Well, Jews don't get it. Jews don't get skepticism here. Like, and the thing is, both there's something in common with Ben Shapiro and Naomi Wolf is that both of them were using extreme hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing, and what Andrew Neil was criticizing Ben Shapiro for was like, look, you contribute to this polarization and anger with your own rhetoric, and then you complain about it in your book. Naomi Wolf is probably guilty of the same thing, because here she writes a whole book about the persecution of homosexuals, and her research was completely wrong. Ben Shapiro also got things wrong. I actually thought of one other BTFO that Andrew Neil could do of Ben Shapiro. He never brought up Ben Shapiro's article, like literally endorsing ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, ethnic cleansing.
Like literally saying we should just kick all the Palestinians out, and like he could maybe he was going to get to that, but Ben bailed. Anyway,
he might have. Yeah, that could have been next
so time. We have Naomi Wolf, another Jew, in service of a polarizing and anti-white political agenda, is hyping up supposed crimes against homosexuals. Now, if you've got to remember that in order to look at this book, you got to think of the audience here being cat ladies that are thinking about, oh, how terrible we've been so mean to the gays.
Yes.
And here's a history of persecution of gays. But not only did Matthew Sweet, who is the interviewer, not only did he break down her initial mistakes, he actually went into some of the cases and researched them himself and found that they're not even more so that these people weren't really executed. The cases were horrible in a way, and she was presenting them as some kind of consensual
well,
love,
play the
and they
audio.
Weren't. So let's go. Let's start with the clip.
Come on, Twitter. I clicked on you already.
You get sentences, as I mentioned, of penal servitude for 10 or 15 years, and I found like several dozen executions, but that was, again, only looking at the Old Bailey records and the crime tables.
Several dozen executions?
Correct. And this corrects a misapprehension that is in every website that the last man was executed for sodomy in Britain in 1835.
I don't think you're right about this. One of the cases that you look at that's salient in your report is that of Thomas Silver.
Oh my God!
Teenagers were now convicted more often. Indeed, that year, which is 1859. 14-year-old Thomas Silver was actually executed for committing sodomy. The boy was indicted for an unnatural offence, guilty, death recorded. This is the first time the phrase unnatural offence entered the Old Bailey records. Thomas Silver wasn't executed. Death recorded. I was really surprised by this, and I looked it up. Death recorded is what's in, I think, most of these cases that you've identified as executions. It doesn't mean that he was executed. It was a category that was created in 1823 that allowed judges to abstain from pronouncing a sentence of death on any capital convict whom they considered to be a fit subject for pardon. I don't think any of the executions you've identified here actually happened.
Well, that's a really important thing to investigate. What is your understanding of what death recorded means?
Death recorded, this is also from, I've just read you the definition of it there from the Old Bailey website. But I've got here a newspaper report about Thomas Silver and also something from the prison records that show the date of his discharge.
Oh, God.
The prisoner was found guilty and sentence of death was recorded.
Yeah. Discharge, please.
But the jury recommended the prisoner to mercy on account of his youth.
See, I think this is a kind of... When I found this, I didn't really know what to do with it because I think it's quite a big problem with your argument. Also, it's the nature of the offence here. Thomas Silver committed an indecent assault on a 6-year-old boy.
Oh, is that it? It's over? So he sexually assaulted a 6-year-old boy.
Yes. Yeah, so here we. Oh, whoops.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yes.
All right. Good.
Sorry. So here, Matthew Sweet.
Do you have to use our workers' comp now?
What?
You just banged yourself.
No, I didn't. I hit it with my hand.
All right. Well,
I didn't bang myself.
I'm
not injured. I mean, you can give me workers' comp.
I mean, we have workers' comp. I mean, are you going to make a claim?
Yeah, let's do it.
Somebody's got to use that sometime.
Can we please move forward?
Distract?
Yes.
We can distract.
So I got the clips from Klein's, or Wolf's, Jesus Christ, book. Okay, so she's saying, in spite of the classical text that Simmons was reading in the Bodleian Library in his tutor's quarters, the drumbeats in the morning papers echoed through the common rooms. I'm assuming she's talking about somebody that was convicted of sodomy here, Simmons. Same year, sentences handed down at the Old Bailey for the attempt at sodomy started to extend in length from a year to 18 months, and teenagers are now convicted more often. Indeed, that year, 14-year-old Thomas Silver was actually executed for committing sodomy. The boy was indicted for an unnatural offense, guilty, death recorded. This is the first time the phrase unnatural offense entered the Old Bailey records. Then the language changed again. Highly charged biblical word abominable appeared in the formerly matter-of-fact court records. Okay, so that's a clip rapist from her book. So now she has another case from somebody named Richard Roche.
Oh God. What is going on over there in the UK?
Then the language changed again. The highly charged biblical word abominable appeared in the formerly matter-of-fact court records. Richard Roche, 34, was indicted for unlawfully committing with William Clements an abominable crime, guilty of the attempt, 18 months in prison.
So is her?
Why is it a problem that they're using biblical terms when this case does involve Israelites? I mean,
yeah, right. So then,
is he implying that these crimes were not abominable?
She's implying that the judgment of these crimes as abominable is an outrage. The book is called Outrages. It's a criminalization of gay shit.
So these are gays assaulting.
The book
teens.
Is a defense of gay shit.
No, I know, but I'm like, but these crimes are actually.
Yes, we're gonna get to that.
Okay,
what's going on here? So this guy Simmons seems to be the subject of this whole page. So another paragraph goes: Simmons, still in his late teens and apparently pursuing and then grieving the end of his love affair, would have read about what happened to teenagers such as Thomas Silver when word about their intimacy with other boys got out. So now he includes a newspaper clipping from 1859. Saturday, 10 December 1859, Thomas Silver, age 17 of Staines, was charged with indecently assaulting Alistair. Thomas Silver, age 17 of Staines, was charged with indecently assaulting Amar Smith. Did they have Muslims even back then? Amar Smith, a little boy, age 6 years, and was tried at the Old Bailey sessions last week before Baron Bramwell. The evidence was totally unfit for publication. This is before Jews ran the media.
Yeah.
The prisoner was found guilty and sentence of death was recorded. The jury recommended the prisoner to mercy on account of his youth, and the judge said he would lay the communication before the proper authorities. It is usual to commute the sentences in cases of this description. So wait, hold on. Right in here we have the gas question? What the? All right, that's just the gas. Anyway, that's just an artifact of the clip, but yeah. Then he criticizes another thing from her book: the rise in prosecutions. I think the statistic is not evidence for the big cultural turn in attitudes that Naomi Wolf identifies occurring in 1857. As we've seen, the total number of successful prosecutions was 8, and the cases. What can really be said about Mepham and Dunlop between 1858 and 1860? Sodomy sentences at the Old Bailey rose by 50%, and sentences got longer yet again. Now, the attempt at sodomy was punished by at least 18 months and up to 2 years in prison. 43-year-old William Mepham, for instance, was indicted for B-Y, guilty of the attempt. He was in prison for 2 years. 27-year-old William Dunlop was also indicted for an unnatural offense, guilty of the attempt. Dunlop received a sentence of 18 months.
Does the attempt mean they're trying to rape somebody?
I don't know what the language is, but
does this all occur before like homosexual was like an identity?
Yes, yeah. It seems so.
No,
it seems that homosexual is not an identity.
So she's
projecting an identity back on
onto it, yeah.
Basically criminal perverts that the courts were dealing with back in this time.
And which now, is cool. Is like imagine like let's project the identity forward. That today's gays identify that like they're just criminal perverts from the past. Like let's bring that.
I mean,
let's project that forward.
Let's take it forward.
That's
what was really going on. And now also that B-Y, that's because they didn't want to write the word bestiality in the court record.
Oh, it was bestiality. Okay.
Yes. So bestiality, and she's saying that she thinks that bestiality is a word to describe homosexual acts.
And does this guy and Matthew Sweet is saying, no, they're talking about sex with animals. Basically, this guy has a long Twitter thread going through the research that he did that Naomi Wolf didn't do. Even though this guy's a liberal, his show is something like Secular Talk or something like that. So he's a liberal, but he's just like, he couldn't deal with this bad research. And Naomi Wolf had to deal with the fact she put out a book. It's in publication now. Now, she might be rescued a little bit by the fact that it's not due to hit the stands until June 19th of this year. So she can maybe recall it and redo it. But it's going to undermine her whole thesis. The problem is the truth here undermines her whole attempted book that's bait to blame white people once again for being terrible about the treatment of gays. And how, and like, in my opinion, like the British were overly merciful to these people. Here we have a 17-year-old raping a 6-year-old boy. His sentence of death was commuted. Here we have guys doing bestiality. She's claiming, oh, no, they weren't doing bestiality. They were loving. And she projects the modern conception. The amazing thing is when you read her words, she's projecting this modern conception of gay as an identity. Gays as having the equivalent of heterosexual love affairs where they love each other.
Yeah, she thinks they're just
they want
like,
to hold hands and walk in the park.
And they like want to open just, weird like artisanal businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
And in black areas to try to bring the property values back.
She's got to do something with this book because the news media is covering this. It's everywhere. The Guardian, Daily Wire, they're all paying attention to her inaccuracies.
Yeah, it's crazy. So then Matthew Sweet kind of BTFOs her in his small British way. So her concluding paragraph on the story of this Simmons character that she's following through this whole thing,
right,
who was apparently some known intellectual who was gay or something like that and whatever. So he says, Matthew Sweet says, so here is the next paragraph. It is not, I think, an image to which this evidence can reasonably be said to lead. So the final paragraph in her book, Outrages, is... yes, that's basically what it said. Shane is ahead of me here. He's like, he already knows. He's like, yes, I know. So basically, even as Simmons and W walk together on the towpath along the Cherwell or lay on the grass next to one another, watching the scudding clouds in one of the meadows near Christchurch that slopes down to the river, Simmons must have been aware that youth of his and W's were being sentenced to prison and even executed for just such love. So she is projecting a heterosexual concept of romance and romantic love and courtship on two fags who are actually
child
raping
rapists.
Kids.
Way to go, Naomi.
I mean, there's not really much more that
this
needs
is why
to be
you have
said
to listen
here.
To this show.
Yeah.
Your confirmations, your biases
all your
are confirmed
biases
all day.
Confirmed. That should be a new slogan. All your biases confirmed.
Like, this is like, I mean, and let's fast forward to the present day.
And dude, projecting this kind of romantic love affair on gays is like cat lady catnip. It's their shit. They do this. It's not real. Gays don't do this stuff. They don't walk in hold
no,
hands
this
in
is
the
what
park
gays
and
do.
Lie in the grass.
Present
and
day.
Look at the clouds and smell the
present
flowers.
Present day. Jury finds foster dad not guilty
yes.
in case of 4-year-old foster child's
do.
Death. This is what gays do. Jurors acquitted Hardin County foster father Wednesday of a murder charge in the death of 4-year-old foster boy 2 years after the child died from a severe skull fracture. The
this
verdict
is
after
so
about
bad.
5 hours of deliberation caused the defendant, Billy Embry Martin, to collapse in tears of relief as he embraced his friends and family in the courtroom. But across the courtroom, grandmothers of Hunter Payton, the child who was injured, seems like killed.
It's killed.
In May 2017, and other family members clutched each other and wept in sorrow at the outcome. I'm disappointed, she said. I don't see how they can do that. Willadine Cross, Hunter's maternal grandmother, said she did not understand the verdict given the case against Embry Martin. All the evidence against him, and he's still free. I don't understand how he can go home and how he can be with his family, and my grandson didn't get to.
So, this is a long article. Basically, this kid, Hunter, his parents were meth heads, so they took him away.
And gays, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, his white
yeah.
parents were meth heads.
Okay.
So, he's sorry a white kid, white boy, went into the... So, they took... Now, he
God
had this extended
it.
Family. His grandmothers and such are there, and it's I'm, like, wondering why they didn't take him, but that's beside the point here. His parents are meth heads. The state took him away. They put him in foster care, and the foster parents were these two gay married black guys. Now, I don't know if the husband was white or not. I don't know. We just know that his husband's name is like Travis or something. It comes out in the article. The kid had bruises on his face combined with the back of his skull was crushed, indicating he was grabbed and smashed. And two medical examiners came to this. They did two. They did the medical examiner, and then they took it to an extra hospital that also came to the conclusion this is inflicted child abuse, they said. Mm-hmm. One medical examiner said this is definitely homicide. The other one said there's no question. This has to be inflicted child abuse because of the bruises on the face indicating a hand and then the smashing of the skull. Emery Martin, the gay black guy, says, oh, the kid fell off a bench, smacked his head, and then got up and said, I'm okay, and then died. No. You don't. I've seen kids fall off of benches and even smack their head on the floor, even concrete, and they don't. Their skull doesn't crack. Skull's pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, skull's really hard.
That was somebody smashing this kid's head. And that was the only person with the strength to do that in the house was
a large,
was
gay, black
a large gay black guy. He killed the kid.
Who's
and he got innocent. Off.
He's innocent.
He literally was acquitted of the
How
crime.
How gay and black
two
is the jury?
Two different medical examiners said the same. This has to be a murder.
I wonder if this is an outrage, Naomi.
Yeah, where's this chapter on outrages about this, Naomi?
Well, this is the struggle for a gay man in America. I mean, this is what everything he's up against.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this poor guy. His adopted child dies in his care with injuries that are consistent with child abuse.
Foster parents. I wonder why two gay men want to be foster parents.
Why are you asking that question? What are you implying there? That is the outrage. The outrage is that everybody looks at this person as to be the guilty party.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, the most obvious suspect. Wow, it's oppression. Homosexual black man. Foster care.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it looks like she's trying to spin a narrative here where essentially there was some sort of witch hunting and hysteria around homosexuals around the turn of the century. Is that seriously where she's going with this shit?
Yeah, I don't know if it's around the turn. She's talking about the Victorian era here, but as the guy said, like the year she's talking about, there's like 8 of these cases, and if you look, they're all actually guilty of crimes.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, you can't really make this into a homosexual panic. I mean, she's trying to say there was this big homosexual panic. I think what her book is a history of what she's classifying as moral panics about homosexuality, and she's calling it outrages about how these people were oppressed. This is a classic Jewish thing. Jews are always very much afraid of moral panics in the goy world. They go back through history. This is very much the thing that they do. They go back through history. They look at things in the past. They'll find cherry-picking evidence, developing narratives, telling stories. The problem is, this time she was exposed, but there's been hundreds, if not thousands, and just an entire industry, an entire culture and educational system dedicated to this stuff. Just like we see with remember we did the piece on the lynching museum, we find out lynching, when we look into it, wasn't really what they claim it is, yet they talk about, this is an outrage. So Jews, they talk about the fear of these goy moral panics about race or about homosexuality, but then they create a moral panic about moral panics. You know, and then they're like, oh, you can't do moral panic. Well, maybe we need a little moral panic here. If we have fags, maybe these English people were a bit naive and they just sentenced this fag for raping the boy. And they don't realize, hey, you know what? In 150 years, there's going to be an entire industry dedicated to perpetuating this lifestyle, to creating more mentally ill homosexuals that are abusers, and to defending them in the public square. Yeah. And then you won't even be able to speak out against it without losing your job. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody should.
It sounds like Jews are more terrified of moral consciousness itself than anything. They're afraid that white Europeans are going to become outraged about something.
Yes.
Well, if we have moral consciousness, then that means we'll fight against their schemes. Yeah. I mean, their schemes are morally indefensible. That's what they do. And they use like the panicking about moral panics as space to subvert. I mean, that's basically what they use.
It's like
basically take the idea that you're offended or you're morally against some practice or some sort of thing, and they try to take that and turn that into, well, that just means you're uneducated, that means you're behind the times, you don't know what this really means, you're not willing to, and they just turn you into like a stupid yokel for falling for this panic, and then they make it laughable if they really succeed, it becomes a big joke.
You see people like in the city council in Seattle,
if it becomes a thing, if they can really push it far enough as a marker of you're just a low status non-person,
and then they don't have to argue anymore,
right? Then you're just gone.
Then it's just gone. Like, oh, you don't like gays, well, huh, guess what we do with people who don't like gays now. They're gonna get sentenced.
We accuse them of being gay. And then we throw them in a gay cage to be gay raped.
I mean, I could see why they'd be afraid. The idea that a certain group of people, namely white Europeans, would have a moral consciousness that might animate them into doing something that they have no control over. Like, you can't control them through these institutions. These people, they'll do extra judicial justice if they have to. because they care that much about their ethics. Like, yeah, that's got to be scary to Jews.
It's very scary to them. And they have, there's a whole history. I mean, there's a long history of this. And if you can go into the history of blood libel and such, and they claim the blood libels are all made up, but there's contrary research to that, that they maybe aren't. Some of them might be, but there's definitely cases that aren't. And then, of course, you know, so this all goes back to Jews fearing, as you said, the moral conscience of Europeans, fearing that and therefore subverting it to make what is immoral moral and turning it on its head, transvaluing values or whatever Nietzsche said about it, basically turning everything on its head. So you can't now, homosexuality is not just, I mean, this is something that people have been talking about for a while. It's not just like, okay, it's morally superior. And like, there's something morally inferior or at least bland and boring about heterosexuality. And
skepticism about perhaps the health of homosexuality.
Superstition.
Superstition. It's
again,
it's inferior.
We just won't do that research.
It's morally outrageous, actually.
Yeah.
It's a moral outrage to be skeptical.
Well, you're against love. Why do you hate love? It's just two people. It doesn't hurt you.
It does.
It's just two people. Two boys. What would you stop these two fresh-faced young boys from holding hands and walking along the river?
Yes, I would smack them in the
back. And smelling the flowers and staring at the clouds together, just like a boy.
I'd smack them back in the head, like, what are you being a faggot for?
Yeah, for real.
Like, stop being a fucking faggot.
Don't be a faggot.
This is disgusting. Stop it.
Then, God,
you know what this leads?
This
leads nowhere good.
Yeah. But the thing is, it never led anywhere good. That picture is imaginary. Naomi Wolf made it up in her own mind. She took creative license. She's like, think of this young gay that I'm creating, painting as a martyr here. Think of him, you know, walking along in the field.
He was a ficus humping fucking Jewish pedophile.
Well,
Mr.
Thomas
Silver
was. She's featuring another guy named Simmons. It doesn't matter. He was also gay. He probably was. Not all of them were Jewish. I think Silver and Roach probably were, but I don't know about the others. There's one guy named Spencer, actually.
Look.
No, you shouldn't do that.
I'm just walking hand in hand, looking at the clouds.
No, I disavow that. But it's a very common English name, so it's probably no relation. But it's just a projection of an idealized. I mean, the funny thing is, she still, in order to sell us to the goyim, she has to still go back to that old romantic notion of heterosexual courting, right? She can't tell you what the thing is. I'd say, Naomi, like, if we're really not judging, let's just lay it all out there. Let's show the guy at the gay pride parade with like 80 fucking dildos on his costume.
Yeah,
let's just show that. That's what it is. That's what they're
about. That's good, right?
Yeah, it's just, they're just being free. Let's be free about it. Let's not constrain them in this box of the way a traditional romantic courtship between a boy and a girl goes. Let's not do that. Let's let them be them, right? Don't project heterosexual norms onto them. That whole walking in the river and smelling the flowers and looking at clouds.
That's normie shit.
That's for normies.
That's breeder shit.
That's breeder shit. Let's not judge them. We don't want to put these people in a box. They probably want to be put in a box themselves, wearing a lot of leather and spikes, but that's, you know, that's normal. That's great. That's beautiful, right?
Wake up the gimp.
Right?
Gimp's asleep. Wake him up.
So you have to wake him up now.
It's just, I love the fact, though, that in 2 weeks we have two hyperbolic Jewish authors both getting wrecked by basic British liberals just like, wait. I've done my research here, and something's not right. So I'll give the... Now, again...
Now let us get back to our sociological experiment with, like, Islamic rape gangs in our country, and you leave us alone.
Yeah.
We don't need your...
We
don't need
Britain.
Added complications with your nonsense about sodomy executions.
It's not to, like... It's also funny, like, this guy, all he had to do... Like, she saw the death recorded in the Old Bailey records. Oh. And she's like, okay, that's it. This guy just, it's like he did the extra step of like looking up the newspaper articles on it. He's like, oh, here we go. This guy wasn't killed at all.
The Old Bailey records. These British people really are fags.
Do we need to bring Michael?
Well,
Caine
the Old
back?
Bailey is like their Supreme Court.
Michael,
right? it's like they're
Caine.
Michael.
But they don't call it a Supreme Court.
I
they call it
through the Old Bailey records.
The Old Bailey.
I found it. Thomas Silver Well, electrocuted.
Just because just it says, like a, just because it says death recorded doesn't mean he died, Bruce.
Yeah. If I execute Tommy Silver, will it hurt? Perhaps you're wondering why he'd enter death recorded before releasing a man.
Naomi Klein.
I'm CIA. Oh, I'm sorry, Naomi Wolf. I did it again. Now I did it.
Yeah, yeah. Now it doesn't matter. They're interchangeable.
They're the same.
Yeah. Same Jewish yenta. Different.
Yids of a feather.
Different outrage. Yids
of a feather. I just think of them as the same person.
They are. I think Naomi Wolf has bigger tits.
Yeah?
That might be the difference. Got any pictures of that? Yeah.
Klein has definitely aged far worse.
Mm. Yeah. Klein has that fish face, Jew face thing. Yeah. It's like disgusting. Like Wolf, I wasn't sure. Like, is that a Jew? She almost looks like pretty.
No, she's super yenty. Like, she's got the big hair and the big teeth.
She got big
and
hair
nose.
And stuff. Yeah, I guess.
The big nose and the big teeth, the huge smile and the big hair. Like, she got that, like, big Jewish face
she
thing.
Doesn't
going
have the,
on
she doesn't
these
have, she doesn't have the Semitic look that makes me, like, wretch, though. Like,
no,
like,
no.
Like, Klein
no,
does. Yeah. Naomi yeah, Klein has.
Klein does.
It's like, it's a bad one. Like, Wolf is from that, like, Jared Kushner sect where it's like, I'm not disgusted just by looking at his face. Like, was like, wait, that guy's really Jewish, man. Like, that's where my Judar fails, at that side of the
But still, like, I see a face like this, and I'm like, that's Jewish. It's not, like, immediately repulsive, but she's got that big Jewish face.
I guess
a lot
so.
Of people are also like, they used to say, oh, Naomi Wolf, she's like a thick mommy type. And I'm like, all right, like, can we see Alex?
These are people that, like, have never
These are people like Alex.
These are like incels.
You hear him just say that? He just grunted in approval.
Oh, I thought he was grunting in disapproval.
No. That was grunting.
No, he likes the thick mommies. See,
Tulsi Gabbard is.
This is like relevant to his interests.
No, it's not. He doesn't
look at the face. Oh my god, that huge face.
That doesn't work for me.
Her head. Yeah, not me either. I'm not into that. Anyway. See, there she looks like kind of pretty, but it's like she's younger. Clearly, all done up, airbrushed.
I wouldn't pick that as a Jew.
It's still
I know.
Jewish. That's really Jewish. Look at the hair, the big hair, the dangly gold.
I don't
earring.
See
There's
it.
So much stuff there that's indicative of a judge.
I don't.
You
I
might
don't,
just be so used to.
I don't see the Semitic smile. I don't see the things that I normally see when I see a disgust. When
what
I see
about
that.
Here?
Well, the problem is you're showing me pictures that the audience can't see.
Right, well, let's look.
Oh, there's that same picture. This is the one that. This is the one that he just had up. Like that one doesn't immediately jump out at me.
No, it doesn't immediately.
Does she
agree
have
with you
blue
that.
Eyes?
Yeah.
A lot of Jews have blue eyes. You can't really totally.
But it's like that doesn't jump out. No. That doesn't scream Yenta at me.
Yeah, it doesn't really scream.
That doesn't scream screaming Yenta.
Other pictures do. Scroll ahead. That does.
That does.
Really?
The clothes?
The clothes,
hey,
yeah.
The clothes,
but
the
I'm,
hair.
I'm just looking at the face.
The face. Those
the facial
huge
features.
Teeth? That. Dude, come on.
But that's not usually what the Jew teeth
look
like.
She's got a Ron Perlman thing going on in that picture.
Yeah.
This is the one you're talking about when it said thick mommy that people like. I'm just like, no.
I don't know, dude. I see it. But maybe
All right, just, there I can see like that with the side a little bit, the nose is kind of poking out. I see what's going on there.
But it's not even just like, she doesn't have a hook, but it's just giant. Like her face is huge. Like her head is gigantic.
He just... She just took right. somebody.
Whoa,
she
whoa.
Just.
She there just, you go. That was hitting me right in the face.
I thought
now,
you hit
me
bigger.
Oh God!
She just looks like a lady who was probably hot in the '80s to me. You know.
Okay.
Like,
she probably was hot in the 80s. But
there were no hot ladies in the '80s.
Let's pick up. I mean, let's pull up Naomi Klein.
Yeah. Let's just compare.
And this is the one. I go. Oh God! When I see this one.
No, this one is bad.
Those are better photos of her too.
Oh, like that's like. Oh God!
Droopy.
Ah. Oh, there you go. That's the one.
She looks like droopy.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's like the very young Skeksis right there.
Like the sides of her face are melting.
See all these. Like I see it. All
She's
the way.
Trying to do a thing where she makes herself look sexier too, and it's
by being like sullen.
It's not working.
By having her lips slightly open. Yeah. No, it's not working.
Like
these,
that.
Yeah. These pictures. I'm like, oh dear God.
Let's just.
She's haranguing somebody.
I just hear the screeching and kvetching and kvelling from here. All right, can we stop looking at these bros?
You want to stop looking at these bros? What do you want to look at now?
What
do you want to look at now?
What else we got?
This episode's even worse than the transgender one.
This is actually more. Well, no, it's not true. I'm still hungry. I could still eat.
All right. You want to read this account of this stabbing?
What stabbing?
Tell me about the stabbing.
The Antifa thing?
Yeah.
You want to hear this? Okay, so there's an article that came up in It's Going Down about man not charged in stabbing of person removing Nazi stickers.
Okay, can you figure out, follow that bad writing?
This is the most...
The man who stabbed the Antifa is not being charged.
And they have a picture here.
Yeah, I just saw what site that's on. There's no way I believe that.
I don't believe
From the skinny, fat, soy physique of the victim, I believe it could be the Antifa, but these wounds are horrendous.
I don't believe... Here, I can't...
That's not a stabbing. That's a fucking...
Send you a link. That's here. Like, you that's can bring like up the picture while I read this if you want. So yeah, that's a serious stabbing. And so they say on Thursday, 25th of April, an anti-fascist referred to below as C stabbed multiple times in Denver, Colorado, while removing fascist stickers from the side of a building placed there by the neo-Nazi group Patriot Front.
Wait. What was he referred to as? G G
C. He's the first
G G G.
Okay. So then they do some boilerplate about how evil Nazis are, blabbity, blabbity, blah. And they say, what follows is an account of the attack by the person who survived, along with a close friend who visited them in the hospital, along with some closing thoughts, more information on the case, and ways to donate to help the injured. Now, upon looking at this case, I looked for the name of the guy who they're calling. His name is Santi Martinez. This is the name of that bearded guy. It's the stabber. We don't know the name of the victim, and I don't believe that this picture is a picture of the so-called victim here, who actually ends up being the victimizer. And this account, when you read the account, even as self-serving and loaded as it is, you understand why the cops did not charge Santi Martinez. They have a claim, they have a link to what they're claiming is court documents and such, but they then say the case is sealed. If you search that case number on Denver courts, you can't find it. There's no police blotter on it, so... This could be completely made up and just a scam to get money. I don't know. But let's just say it's real and that this account is the very biased. So this is going to confirm some biases as well. Listen to this. Thursday, April 25th, around 10 a.m., I was leaving the Goodwill on South Broadway when I saw Patriot Front stickers on the outside of the south side of the building on Archer Street. I was removing what I could, and for the ones that wouldn't come off, I was covering them with anti-fascist stickers. A Goodwill employee, an older man about 6'1", with a long white beard, who we later found out was named Santi Martinez, walked by and told me to stop, that it was vandalism. I said, this isn't vandalism. Besides, vandalism doesn't hurt anyone. These are fascist stickers, and fascism puts people in concentration camps. Martinez then moved closer to me and said, maybe some people deserve to be in concentration camps. Then he leaned in closer towards me, putting his hands on my shoulders. He had about half a foot and 100 pounds on me. I hit him in the nose. Then he pulled out a large folding knife about 4 to 6 inches from his pocket and opened it. So I started running while pulling pepper spray out of my pocket and spraying it at him. Now let's see if we can dissect what really happened here.
All right. First of all, he didn't say any of the things this Antifa.
He never said the concentration.
I don't believe this entire thing. I think it's all made up.
I think this
let me get this straight.
I just think this is all made up.
The entire thing.
Huge friggin' guy is looming over you, so you think the best thing you could do is punch
him in the nose.
Why not just run immediately? why punch him first? If this did happen, it shows that if challenged at all, because notice he says I wasn't just peeling stickers off.
No,
I was putting stickers on.
This entire thing is fake. It's sealed. Why would it be sealed?
Yeah,
and you can't find the case. No, this is totally fake.
I couldn't even find a police blotter. This is fundraising bullshit. I think it's fundraising bullshit. I couldn't even find a police blotter on it. Now there is a document they're claiming to be a court document, but I can't even search that case number and find a sealed case.
No. I wonder who this guy. Like, what is this picture supposed to be?
That's an evil felon.
No, but you're like, where'd they get the picture from? Like, he's not looking at the camera. It's not a mugshot. Like, what is this picture? Who is this guy?
Yeah, where did they get that picture from? Yeah,
that's gonna be some Antifa guy.
That might be. It looks like someone that would associate with Antifa.
I don't believe this whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially the account of the scuffle. I punched him in the nose.
It gets worse.
And he pulled out a knife and I ran as I was getting my pepper spray. It's like,
okay, it gets worse. Right. It actually gets worse. Okay. It gets more unbelievable as it goes. He chased me down Archer Street towards Broadway and caught me and stabbed me 5 times within a few seconds against the south wall of the Goodwill building. I continued to spray him and managed to get away from him and run around the corner at North on Broadway towards the front entrance of the Goodwill.
At what point did he do like the,
I ran
the gutting?
Inside the Goodwill with him chasing me. I'm gushing blood from my chest and abdomen, and I can feel and see my intestines coming out of my body.
Wow.
Through my hoodie.
Oof.
So I use one arm to cradle them.
That's
while...
Gross.
Okay, Alex, can you use some medical... Can somebody with their intestines falling out run?
Well, they might shuffle.
I mean, I feel like if your intestines are falling, it's like impossible that adrenaline or something. I don't know much about it. It seems to me
now I want a hot
that
dog.
Level of abdominal injury would impede your ability to run.
Some
and if you still
sausage.
Could run on pure adrenaline, you would be making whatever your injury was worse and worse and worse as you ran.
Now, if you had punctured lungs, your ass wouldn't be running for very fucking long. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, the way he tells it, this went on and on and on. This scuffle continued.
This guy chased him.
Yeah, and then Santi Martinez.
That's vandalism.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a break.
I'm inside the Goodwill with him chasing me. I'm gushing blood from my chest and abdomen, and I could feel and see my intestines coming out of my body.
Okay.
Once I got into the Goodwill, I yelled, "This guy just stabbed me a bunch."
A bunch.
At an employee while running past
Folks.
The counter. Martinez continued to chase me with a knife and yell at me inside the store while employees and customers looked on doing nothing. While running through the store, I was looking for something on the shelves that I could defend myself with. So I continued to spray him, try to keep a distance
You're
between us.
Still spraying pepper.
He continued, yeah, despite his intestines falling out, cradling them, also
spraying
pepper spray and running,
looking
for something
for
to defend
item.
Himself
looking,
with.
And looking for a weapon. This entire thing.
It's all made up.
Did not happen.
He continued to chase
this
me with
not,
the knife.
This did not go down.
Yes, this
is
not going,
down.
Yeah. And yell at me while employees and customers stood by doing it, saying nothing, with the exception of an older male customer who commented, "I was maced once," while continuing to do nothing and failing to acknowledge that I was being chased by a large man with a knife while literally spraying blood everywhere and holding my intestines. It's like this level of fanfic is... Martinez finally stopped chasing me for unknown reasons. So I stopped, took off my backpack, opened it on a counter, which was quickly getting covered in blood, pulled out my small first aid kit. I
a
opened
small
the gauze. Now, if your intestines are falling out, wouldn't you be yelling, "Call 911? I mean, why are we even dissecting this? I feel dumb even talking about it. For it's just the fantasticness of the story.
It's like
Jamie, do you think it's possible that this gentleman was on DMT? Do you think that's possible?
It seems like they know.
Jamie says
it
yes.
Seems like this guy knows their audience, like knows the kind of things that like set off their outrage detector, and so all the language of the story or the sequence of events is designed to trigger certain pieces in their psyche of these Antifa people.
And it keeps
and
going.
None of it makes any sense. None of it makes any sense to a normal person.
A normal person reading this is like
wait,
like
what?
You know that a mentally
look
ill
at this
person.
Next one.
You know that a mentally ill person. That's actually how we should analyze this. We know this person that wrote this fanfic is mentally ill because it's a normal person. Even
no, it's
someone
that it's
thinks,
written for the mentally ill.
Yeah,
I would say the person who wrote it is of sound mind and he knows his audience.
That doesn't necessarily
ill.
Mean I wouldn't necessarily say they're of sound mind. I think that they are mentally ill. They know their audience and their audience is mentally
okay.
Ill.
Okay, that could be it too.
But in either case, there's someone along this way that is not at all influenced by reality. Like reality doesn't come into their like the way that people act, the way people behave when they see this kind of incident, the way that, like, all the normal reactions that people would have don't come into play. There's also the likelihood that this person being an Antifa that is it's going down fan is probably some kind of homosexual transgender Jew, which is what they overwhelmingly are. And those people already have a very
tenuous, chasing me.
They have a very tenuous
I was holding
grasp.
My intestines. I put my backpack on the counter, got out my small first aid kit, and I went to work.
Just imagine, though.
I thought I was going to pass out.
You're working in Goodwill one day, and this guy comes in there, and he's macing himself and screaming.
I kept spraying the pepper spray on my intestine, hoping it would hold it in. I was gone. I was loud, and I was smelly, and it made my eyeballs sting, and nobody would do anything.
This is crazy.
That one guy across the room, he says, "I was maced once." I was like, "Thank you, sir. I understand. Thank you for your concern." Why would anyone help me?
I opened the gauze. And I had realized there wasn't enough for all my wounds.
Oh, God.
Then realizing I was going to pass out, I decided it would be better to sit down instead of falling to the floor. I started to treat myself.
Mm.
At no point was a medical service called. At no point was an ambulance called.
You can't rely on this. There's a bunch of fascists, white supremacists, that are going to come and they're going to kill me.
Well, he, Dude, it goes there, right?
Yeah, I got a little professional advice if your intestines are coming out.
Call 911.
Do not put galls on that, okay?
Don't put gauze on it.
You don't want to stick to your intestines.
Don't start looking for weapons to fight somebody.
I tried to find a blunt object to hit.
Do not put gauze on there.
Okay. Huge Hispanic.
This is funny. So one of the Goodwill employees yelled, "Everyone get out of
everyone
the store!"
Get out.
Maybe because there's a crazy person running around macing people.
Yeah, like what if the reality was this person really was running around yelling?
If someone's really screaming, running around like spraying pepper spray, I would say everyone get out of the store too. I mean, that's the natural.
Not actually stabbed, just like being a nuisance.
Then a woman came over to me and said she was a nurse and started asking employees for gloves so she could help and start treating me. They gave her, like, gardening gloves. They were like
the employees were confused, didn't know how to find a first aid kit for the gloves, and stood there over
the nurse. Yeah, this is all written poorly. Eventually, someone gave... Whoops, I didn't mean to do that.
See that? It's gestures.
These gestures.
You get a Windows machine.
Yeah, right.
That won't
happen. Yeah, it won't happen. Right. Okay.
Then a woman came over to me, and she said she was a nurse. Oh, I'm sorry.
Eventually, someone gave gloves to her, and she began to apply... He doesn't even say rubber gloves.
Pressure.
She began to apply pressure to my wounds. These gloves are useless unless they're sterile rubber gloves. A manager was telling everyone to leave, including the nurse who was applying pressure to my wounds and attempting to save my life. However, she ignored him. So he's saying, the woman that's doing life-saving treatment...
I'm sure the store...
The store manager's like, get out! That's also not true.
Let
it's
him bleed to death!
Yeah, it's just not true. It's not true.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy any of this. Okay, firefighters, EMTs arrived and took over, cutting off my clothes with trauma shears, continued to apply pressure to the stab wounds. A cop took my backpack, wallet, phone, and everything else.
He took my backpack and my wallet, my phone.
Everything else I had. When I asked him why I was taking my stuff when I was the victim, he just said, crime scene, and walked away with my belongings.
He took my stuff.
The EMTs put me on a stretcher and wheeled me out of the Goodwill while I asked them for my phone because I wanted to call my mom. They said they'd get it. They then loaded me up into an ambulance in front of the store while I again requested my phone. They said they'd get it for me, but never did. I was taken to the hospital and unloaded from the ambulance. Being wheeled out of the ambulance and into the hospital by the EMTs, a police officer decided to unnecessarily help them with unbuckling the safety belts on the stretcher, and while doing so, managed, whether intentionally or not, to recklessly toss the buckle, which flew back and hit me in the face.
Good.
I said, please don't hit me in the face with that buckle.
Please don't hit me, sir.
Oh, God, please stop this buckle. The cop responded with, that didn't hit you in the face. You're on a lot of drugs right now. Probably true.
Well, he's been on a lot of drugs the entire time.
That's funny. He says at this point I had not received drugs. So, like, that's...
Right, so
I think that's what the cop meant.
Something real fast. This guy's got life-threatening injuries, but he's very concerned about getting his cell phone. And he's also very upset that the medics didn't find his cell phone for him, despite the fact that his injuries are so bad, so life-threatening, so
dangerous. He's got a lot of situational and spatial awareness as well. Don't hit me with that!
Yeah.
He's waiting for...
At this point, I had not received any drugs and was still fully conscious and aware of what was going on. But I was also... I'd had, like, perforations all over my entire body.
I wasn't
in shock or anything. Like...
I had some canvas garden gloves stuck to my small intestine.
I responded by saying, yes, it did hit me in the face, to which the cop replied in a louder and firmer tone, no, it didn't, shut up. I was then taken into emergency surgery for the knife wounds to my heart, lungs, and abdomen.
Heart?
They had to cut completely through my sternum bone to get to my heart and lungs, okay? My atrium was cut, and both my lungs were collapsed, and I had lost 6 pints of blood. But despite all this, I was not in shock, and I was completely lucid, and I wanted my phone, and I was fighting with a cop.
Oh, God, this is so insane.
The nurses told me that I could easily have died. We can only be so lucky. I spent the next 8 days in the hospital with chest tubes for both my lungs and received over 70 staples in my torso. I am now out and beginning the healing process, but it will be at least another 2 months before I am healed.
Someone stab him again.
Okay, this also is bullshit.
If only he could get sepsis before then.
If only this was real.
Martinez was taken to the same hospital and treated for a broken nose. A detective showed up at the SICU trying to get information from the nurses about C's injuries. A detective left a card. Nurses informed him they couldn't release any HIPAA-protected information. He then gets mad. Okay, this goes on and on. This person is insane. He then gets mad that the detective, who he didn't want to talk to, he did not want to talk to the police detective, and he gets angry that the hospital, because his information of crime victims is supposed to be secret in hospitals, he's mad that the detective investigating the case was given access to his room to go and question him. Your room is secret if you're a crime victim, but not from the police detective. I think he's allowed to know, so he can go and ask you what happened.
Also, why wouldn't you want to tell him? If you're such a victim, I mean, we have plenty of cases and examples of Antifa. They like to pretend that they get victimized by the cops, but they don't. They work with the cops happily. They happily work with the cops all the time. When they think that they're going to get a case, which they always do when they bitch. And now I'm thinking, if this story has any truth to it, if any altercation occurred, they have an email here that they're claiming is an email from Goodwill about the problem. But the thing is that this email is dated May 23rd, 2019. But the incident happened on April 25th. And they're saying, we're very sorry about this incident, and we fired... Okay, getting people fired is always obsession for them. They fired Santi Martinez. So, I'm saying, maybe people call this Goodwill number and ask them, did this fucking happen? Is this real? And the thing is, if you do that, and when they say, we don't know what you're talking about, the excuse is pre-built into the story. Oh, the records are sealed. They don't want to deal with it. Right? I'm just saying. I don't think this happened. I think this is likely bullshit, and I think it's a fundraising scam. Because we don't know who C is. I can't find anything. I look up Santi Martinez stabbing Denver. I get all kinds of cases from all over the place. I look up stabbing Denver April 25th. I tried to find... And now, if this was really a case where somebody received this level of stab wounds and this level of injury and trauma, the media would have reported it. Because in Denver, there was only 13 murders in the last year. It's not a very city with a lot of crime. It's only recently have they gotten diversity there. That's why.
Mm.
So there's not very many crimes there. I found other stories where a stabbing happened in Denver, and because of the unusual nature of this, it was reported. This one story, this lurid tale, nowhere to be found in the newspapers. I find that just suspicious as fuck. I was expecting to find something and find like, oh yes, of course, this is a completely exaggerated tale. But I can't find anything. I think it might just be totally made up. Even so, it shows you the level of mental illness of these people. The fact that they would find this story... Well, I guess it's believable to people that read this dumb website, so...
I guess a month later they fire somebody. They must... Maybe there was some kind of shouting match. I don't know.
But see, they've got this phony... This could be... Like, where did this come from? There's also a link to what they're claiming is... there's a link to what they're claiming is a court document... But that's...
Wait, go up, go up, go up, go up, go up, go up, go up. Go up. Republican Party of Florida? Like, so, he's a Republican.
That's the other thing. How did they get that?
What Republicans working
why
in Goodwill?
Why in the court document? Well, first, I mean...
Whatever. It's still, it's like, what the fuck is this?
I wouldn't be surprised, but like... Where do they get this? Oh, this is a voter record they pulled somehow. So, I just think this is bullshit, dude.
It might have gotten news cucked, by the way.
Oh, what's up?
We got news cucked by Broward County again.
What happened?
There was some sort of shooting outside of a mosque down there. It's always in Broward County.
Wonderful. Let's see what we got here. We're not news cucked if we cover it right now.
View from SkyTim, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many... It says the suspect was shot and killed by law enforcement officers.
Shooting investigation at mosque in Broward County. Wonderful. Florida man strikes again.
Apparently that mosque is where certain individuals that have done shootings themselves.
Well, I'm imagining. Like,
this is an internal dispute.
It's like, is it mosque goers that are doing the shooting?
I mean, we'll see what happens. But
it's the most likely outcome.
If by the time you listen to the show you already know what happened, then sorry,
we might as well just not bother. We
don't know what happened.
Oh wow, it's a shooting outside.
Omar Mateen went there.
It's a shooting outside of a mosque. Like wow, what do you want me to do with that? Talk about that again.
Oh, I think that they. It says suspect shot killed by members of fugitive task force outside mosque. I think what this means
is fugitive.
Somebody was running and they happened to be in front of them. Who knows? It doesn't look like this is a mass shooting. If that's what's happening, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong.
Hmm.
And we'll cover it in the coming days. But
have there ever been any situations in Florida that we've heard of where somebody was fleeing the police and then they were apprehended, shot? Can't think of any.
Well, there's a guy running in the woods behind the school. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm. I was just looking at the note cards.
All right,
I'm looking at the index cards.
Where are we on time? I think we can.
Well, we've done an hour. We can stop now. I think we're done.
Yeah,
we're all good.
We did a good number.
We had an hour 20 the first hour. That's right.
Yeah,
so we can
did a long first hour. Very good first hour. Yeah. And we have plenty of stuff for next week.
Yeah,
we have all this stuff. And
oh, we
stuff.
Still didn't do the Nation article about
the
crazy
Nation
woman.
Article, and I had
the Nation article is something else.
Actually, no, we did both my pieces of prep.
You did. Yeah, you didn't do any of mine. No, we did. I did. We did. Seattle's dying.
Alex got prep cucked again.
That's right.
Alex is the most prep cucked member of the panel. I'm sorry, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll do it.
This is why this is why I usually don't do prep, because now I brought all the stuff to the table and everything got fucked up. I don't prep. What am I prepping for? It's better sitting here not knowing what to say.
Well, this is a good show. We did
silly,
a good
just making silly one-liners about Oscar Mayer.
No, you brought
fucking...
the prep. You brought the Seattle movie.
I know. I said this prepping. Is why I said this is why I usually don't prep, because now like he's getting prep cucked when you have other things left on the table.
Well,
that
you
we
didn't
do.
Get prep cucked.
I'm saying that my prep is clogging the other prep, so that we didn't get Alex's prep done because I actually did some.
Okay,
it's a problem. I just not bother.
Well, we never do Alex's.
Is that true? No, we did. We did his. We did his stillborn tranny story the other day. That was great.
Well,
as long like, as long as we have a surplus of prep, that's
yeah.
the most important thing. We don't want to run out of prep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
running out of prep would be bad.
So there's going to be no Fascination this weekend, and there's going to be no TDS on Memorial Day. So we'll be back on Wednesday.
Enjoy it.
We just want to be striking Mike
Enjoy
on
your
Tuesday.
Vacation. Yeah, we'll do
striking. Striking Mike Tuesday. So. We're going to take the weekend off here.
Striker's not taking the entire week off. What kind of socialist is he?
I mean, Striker takes the rest of the week off, and he just works for us on Tuesday.
Yeah, Striker. He does other shows. But
he can take off from those ones,
or he'll just do them. I mean, it's not like it's that hard.
I'm just joking around. That's that. Yeah. That's that. See you next week, folks.
See
you folks later. With an X.
Always give your best. Never discourage. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.